This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So Josh Spiegel had a chance to go and enjoy himself opening day. I think we'll maybe play a few clips here. It was Monday, a day that I was out. Joe Robinson was in, baseball aficionado, and the conversation got started about getting Josh to opening day. We don't get tickets. We really don't get much of anything around here. And then you'll hear the conversation transition into the gentleman, a sales manager, that took Josh and got him the tickets. And an update to the situation, yesterday, I was cornered in the hallway by the sales manager you'll hear coming up in one of the clips, Josh Gierke, who really took issue with me in particular, saying that he used you as a as an accessory, as a trophy wife. Because I believe your complaint was is that he kept introducing you to people over and over again.
Right, the same people.
His counterpoint in the hallway was that he thought he was doing you a favor,
yeah, of course,
by introducing you to people.
No, I don't mind being introduced to people. I just he kept introducing me to the same people repeatedly.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That happens after a couple of cocktails. Once again, and I don't want to, you know, cause any friction or waves here.
Not what we
but
do.
But your lack of experience out in drunken situations maybe sometimes leads you to get annoyed. Like, that's just common when a person has had a couple of drinks, that, you know, maybe they'll repeat themselves or do things over and over. That's just usually a very common thing. So,
well, armed robbery is also common.
Huh?
What?
And
what?
That's not acceptable.
Well, a battle line was drawn yesterday. Mike and Scott on one side. I came to your defense on the other.
Thank you.
And now I've gone and pissed off the man that's responsible for basically all of our endorsements here.
Yeah, he's like the nicest guy. I don't know why you would ever think that he like used Spiegel as like a
I felt like he poured him out. Like a,
I think he was
like,
just trying to help him and push him out there, get him to socialize.
Like a woman of the night. Treated our boy like a prostitute.
Did any part of you feel guilty for making such a stink about tickets and then only staying for an inning and a half?
No, because I mean, my date, our sales manager, didn't even go with me.
You mean your pimp that day?
That's another thing. I think your lack of experience in these type of situations over the years, you were a little, I think your thought process was a little bit off, and you thought that, you know, it was all about the game. Like you said, you got into the game late and you sat down late. But when it's opening day, like, the game is kind of like an afterthought. It's more about just the party. You hang out. Maybe you go to your seat for an inning or two and then you leave. And I think that's kind of what Josh Gierke was kind of going by, those rules of the opening day situation.
Josh was neglected and treated like a prostitute. Hear all about it coming up on Behind the Curtain. Hey, shout out to everyone that went on down to our friends over at Pickles and Mothers everywhere around Canton Fells, Camden and in between. Hopefully you enjoyed your opening day celebrations. Hope you didn't get too broke up. Josh Spiegel attended a game in the past 5 or 6 months between revelations of childhood, let's have a party, I want to become a bird. It just doesn't stop.
I should have gone to the game with my wings.
We are hitting what some would refer to as a stride with you. And joining us on the phone was the guy that was able to help procure the tickets to opening day yesterday. One of our sales managers, Josh Gierke. Josh, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing,
bud? Hey there. How's it going?
Hey, Josh. How are you, buddy?
Okay. How are you?
First of all, thank you for getting Josh a ticket. That was very last minute of you.
Thank you.
And thank you for just taking our boy out and showing him, you know, what's out there. You know, I don't want to say what he's missing, but, you know, getting him out of his comfort zone. And you're very good at that, Josh Gierke. And I just wanted to thank you and say that I love you and respect you for that. Because, you know, sometimes our boy needs a little nudge.
He was a fun guy yesterday. I enjoyed it.
And if there's anyone, you know, in the office to show somebody a good time, like, yeah, Josh is very, Josh Gierke on the phone, very gregarious, very outgoing, very positive, very upbeat. And he'll take you around, you know, and show you, hey, let's come on, let's go.
He could do like 1,000
seize
push-ups.
The day. Seize the day.
You know I arrived at the warehouse.
Yeah, please.
And immediately texted Josh Girk and got no response.
I have arrived. Where are you?
I called him. He didn't answer his phone. I called again and 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 again.
Oh, my God. His headphones are falling off.
As many as I just said. And it took a while to connect. And then I was at the Utah Street entrance, and I didn't know where exactly you were. I knew you were at the Diamond Tavern.
Mm-hmm. But I thought that would be easy for you to get to, quite frankly.
It's not easy for me to do anything.
Every other place.
Nothing's easy to get to on opening day.
Right. So, yeah. But eventually we connected, and I got over there using GPS on my phone to walk.
Can I just ask somebody, right? Like, at that point, I'm grabbing a beer. I say, all right, let me just grab a beer, first step. Yep. And then I'll find somebody in orange that looks official and go, hey, can you point me to the Diamond Tavern? And then you just do that. Like, that's a...
That's standard operating procedure on trying to... find out where you're going. But Josh, where were you? Girk, where were you?
I was at the Diamond Tavern waiting.
Were you in a no cell signal?
A couple missed phone calls. There was a DJ that I was standing next to, and I couldn't hear a darn thing.
Are you referring to DJ Teddy?
We even tried to get Steve up on stage, and the guy knew him.
Yeah.
Of course he knows him. He lives in the city.
Everybody did.
Plant life knows who he is around here. No vibrate function on there, I assume. One of those older phones where when you dial it, it doesn't vibrate. It's either silent or there's sound coming out of it. It's probably a tech issue.
Well, so
I saw the text that Girk sent. I mean, because he was looping us in like with all of the texts.
Oh, yeah.
And the pictures are great. It says, meet me at the Diamond Tavern directly across from this picture.
And that was at 12:15.
So what time did you get down there, Speaks?
I got down there about 2.
Whoa.
A little later. Yeah, about that, yeah.
And so I ended up made it to the Diamond Tavern. Ran into Lowell Melzer right in front of the place.
Hell yeah.
All right.
All right, off to a good day.
So I said, hey, I'm good to see you. I'm kind of in a rush. Got to meet this person. He said, okay, we got to take a selfie first. So we took a selfie. And then I found Girk, and we hung out for a while. And it was very fun. You introduced me to all your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Are those all your friends?
Female listeners that found out it was him, and he was a ladies' man on opening
day.
I saw that
one picture talking to that blonde chick. Let me tell you this. You don't meet cute blonde chicks sitting on your couch at home. So look at that. That's a bonus right there. See what happens when you leave the house?
But see, she got offended, didn't she, Girk?
I don't know.
Yeah, she did get offended because she was like. I was talking to her for a little bit, and she's like, are you really this awkward? And I said, this is how I am. God. This is how I am. She's like, no, this is not how you are. You're not this awkward. No. And we go back and forth, and I'm saying, this is who I am. And she kind of just walked away. She was just offended.
God. I think this I walked woman. Away, too.
Yeah. Oh,
well.
Okay.
That was awkward.
Well, but then, so I wanted to go to the game. I had an orange crush.
Good for you, buddy. And look at you.
Solid opening day drink.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to the game.
Big bump of methamphetamine.
It was like 15 minutes before I wanted to get the seats.
How are the seats?
Yeah, but opening day is more about just the, it's not really about being, for some people it is, but, being in your seat on time and watching the game. It's about just kind of, mulling around.
It's about holding your friend Becky's hair while she power vomits into some neighbor's alleyway.
So you were looking at your clock and you're like, okay, it's the game starting. I wanted to get to my seat.
Yeah. And Josh Girk insisted on continuing to party.
Yeah, that's what it's about, man.
And he didn't want to go to the game.
I was networking.
Yeah, okay, if that's what you call it. And then... I said, okay, I gotta go. And he said, okay, maybe I'll meet you later. So I got into the
You went by yourself?
Yeah, I got
Why wouldn't you just hang out?
Because I wanted to see the game.
Nah, don't worry about the game.
And I got in there and got to the seat, and I got to tell you, I forgot how boring an oval baseball is.
Fantastic. Yeah,
that's why you don't go to your seat.
And yes. I decided I probably should have stayed with Josh Gert to party.
Yes, of course.
I don't know how people sit there for, you got to have the patience of a saint.
Yeah, you do need a squad of people. I love UFC. I love football, pro wrestling events, but I have to be with someone. If I'm by myself, I'll get bored. In 10 minutes.
Like baseball can be very boring, and then sitting there by yourself, I would have not went in by myself. So I'm just throwing that out.
I would have squatted up. Yeah,
I would have stayed with the squad. And if you get to the game and you see a few innings, fine. Opening day is more about just the atmosphere and being in the area. Having a few.
Well, I had a really fun time with Josh. Then. Let that be.
Well,
said.
You hung out for 10 minutes. It sounds like.
Man, then bailing.
He got there at 2, and the game started at
3. It was about a half hour, maybe a half hour.
Left him with that blonde viper of a psychiatrist who was trying to drill into his head with her awful timber.
Yeah. So Josh got there at 2. He hung out with you for a half hour. He's like, "The game is starting. I gotta go." He goes into the game. He sits there by himself, and then what happens?
I'm there, and I'm trying,
bored out of your skull.
Bored, trying to figure out what's going on. Have no idea what's going on.
I withdraw my penis.
They said something about Trumbo and Chris Davis, and then I left.
When?
Yep.
I was there for 20 minutes.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So you got down there at 3, and you left at about.
I was down there at two. I was late at the for the game. I was there. I got to the game about 3:20.
No, but you got down there at like
about
2-ish.
About 2, yeah.
You got to your seat at like 3:20, and you left at 3:40. So you're down there for an hour and a half.
Yes,
longer than I was down there for.
Yeah, but you were down there for a different reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I went there to save a drunk family member. Good on you. Hey, you know what you did? You didn't make yourself suffer.
You did it, right?
All right? If you thought this sucked, Josh, you're an adult. And you know what I like to do in my house? When someone offers me a food that I don't want to eat, like some baked clam, onion, olive, tapenade-esque, I'm like, I'm 38 and I don't have to eat it. Suck it. If you felt like leaving, you know what you did? You got your happy ass out the seat and you went to your car because it's your right to do so.
Texter checking in. It says... why did Josh leave after the second inning? I was sitting behind him. He looked very unhappy.
Well, why didn't you say something to me instead of whispering to your girlfriend?
Hey, look who it is.
Yeah.
And it says, and for fact-checking reasons, I was in section 14, row 21. And you were in section 14, what, row 19, right? So this, so this guy was behind you. Said you looked miserable.
I wasn't miserable, but then people are whispering around. Just say hello for God's sake! Stop whispering.
Is that the guy? That's the guy. I thought he was Portuguese.
Because like based on all the pictures I was getting,
I want to touch his hair like a black person.
I'm like, he's out there. He's having a great time. Yeah. Like he's bumping around. He's bumping around town.
I was washing puke.
It looked
off
like
the side
the story that was portrayed via text through pictures.
It
and,
was fun,
and I was like. And it's come to find out he was only out there for an hour and a half. I thought you were putting in work.
In years prior, he wouldn't have been out there for a minute.
No,
and a half.
I mean, right. So we can't fault him. But I mean, I thought it was going to be a little more
next
grandiose.
Year. He plays. Next year, he's out there with a cup and a bat.
But I really, how
did you go ahead?
Does a game like this? Sustain itself when we're living in a society that is instant gratification.
Maybe that's what it is. It's the opposite of all that. You just go to the park, you enjoy it,
and
you
kids,
relax.
You know, kids. How are kids gonna, who play video games and everything is right now?
I guess it's sort of how the same palate can enjoy fast food as much as they can mom's slow crock pot roast.
Yes.
I could see that. Okay. I think there's room on the same tongue for each flavor. Well, hello there. But yeah, I mean, God love baseball, but I would rather lick every window in here clean and watch a full game by myself.
Yeah.
Live.
And so did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy
yourself?
Yeah, I did.
I did enjoy the game, and I thanked Josh Gert for the ticket and hanging out, and it's just hanging out. It's fine.
It's not your thing, man.
It's fine, but it's like the constant, have another drink, have another drink, take pictures.
You're doing a shot.
I just can't
You're
do that over and over and over again. It's just not me. Overall, it was fun.
Josh,
it was
Gert.
Fun.
Who is the woman?
Who was she?
Oh, I don't know. She came right up.
Rando.
I don't know.
She's some rando, man.
She was rando.
Yeah. Nice lady.
Oh, yeah. She seemed great. Yeah. No, I bet she has a lot of incredible opinions about stuff.
Getting angry at me for myself.
That's not even true.
Josh Girk on the phone. Let's say if we're grading like social, you know, social, I don't know.
People say I'm a great singer.
Do they?
Like, Josh, I'd probably put you up close to a 10. You're
a butterfly.
You're very good. You're a social butterfly. You're gregarious. You know how to, like, you know, make people feel like they're the. Rate Spiegel's performance yesterday.
I'd put it at a good 6, maybe even a 7.
Okay.
Oh. He came right in. He introduced himself, shook hands, talked to everybody, did his thing.
It was just the briefness of it is startling to me. Given if I'm putting the timeline together in my head, I mean, he didn't get there till 2, right? And then the game started at 3. So he was probably with you for a half hour. Mm-hmm. Then it probably took him 20 minutes to get in.
Yes.
And then he was at the game for 20 minutes, and then he left.
At the game for 20 minutes with all the whisperers.
Yeah, how were the people around you, Spiegel?
I know Adam Jones.
Because you were also sitting by yourself.
At the game?
Yeah.
Nobody said a word to me, which is fine. But I knew that they were whispering. Just say something to me if you want to say hello. Fine.
I thought he was a midget.
And then pointing when I walk out.
Why is he sitting alone?
He walks like a human.
The reason they were pointing because they're like, what? He's leaving after 20 minutes.
Yeah,
he's going
20 minutes and he's leaving.
Smell his seat.
It's opening day.
Go over there and smell his
seat. I have eyes and ears. I can see and hear what you're doing.
Josh, did you feel good after the Orioles won yesterday?
Here.
I did. I found out this morning since I went to the game for only 20 minutes.
He was instructed to feel good, and thank you for feeling good.
But the party beforehand was very nice, very fun.
Very nice.
Very alcoholic.
Why do you act like that? Are you always like that? Interested in my opinions.
Yeah, a woman got angry at me because... She didn't believe that I was really this awkward, and we got into basically an argument about it, and then walked away.
Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Josh, life's
Keep
too
walking.
Short, man. Life is
Keep
too
walking.
Short.
And anyway, lady, I only date millennials, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like some fresh off the factory showroom floor.
Yeah.
Like some with the wrapper still on.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, how old was this lady?
At least... 40.
Oh!
Can I tell you a story, Josh, to follow up in the same vein as that one? You know, it's Steve's party.
Yes.
For his wedding.
Yes.
Prior to you getting there, I don't know who she was, but she was a listener / family member and was just loaded for bear to corner you and ask, are you really like that? Because there's no way you can be like that 15 minutes. And I gave her the rundown and said, you're not going to do that. You're going to enjoy some of this hummus. You're going to let him dance.
Yeah.
And if you get up in his face, they're going to be finding pieces of you all up and down Coastal Highway.
I don't mind if you ask me if I'm like this, but don't get into an argument because you don't believe me. I mean, please.
I have a question.
Trying to enjoy the party.
Josh, some people just like to argue.
Yeah. It's just disgusting.
I hate those people.
Yeah.
She's probably also drunk, dude. Like,
yeah, she was drunk,
okay,
definitely.
So then that's the end of the
story. Well, that doesn't give her a pass.
Sure it does. It explains her behavior.
Oh, no. A drunk woman's words are a sober woman's thoughts.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying that explains why she was confrontational.
A lot of Uggs.
Probably a very fine person.
You want to see my North Face jacket?
Just let it go, Josh. You got to let it go.
It says sexy across my butt on the sweatpants.
You got a ticket to opening day of the Orioles,
boring.
And you stayed for 20 minutes.
That's like watching paint dry. It's so exciting, the college basketball, especially when the students try to distract the opposing team by holding up the newspapers and they go, That's my favorite part.
A lot of fun.
I want to go to a make it happen, Dirk.
Nope, you've ruined your
make
chance.
Make it happen.
Whoa. We got you tickets to opening day.
Josh pulled out, Josh Girk, our sales guy, pulled out all the stops.
He didn't do anything.
Are you kidding me? He got you great seats to opening day last minute, and you stayed for 20 effing minutes.
He didn't care. He didn't even go to the game, and he had a ticket. That ticket was laying around. That didn't suddenly appear.
It wasn't even facing the right direction.
You know how many people in the city would have killed for that ticket? You get
it. Well, I would have sold
it
to
them. And you sat in your seat for 20 minutes, and you left at the end of the second inning.
And do you know how many people in the city have killed for a ticket? Quite literally, day of.
82 so far this year. Josh, come on, man. That's got to be kidding me. You can't. You got to give it a chance. Didn't give it
just,
a chance.
Nothing was happening. It was so boring. And the field is so much. It seemed really a lot smaller than that the football field.
Well, it is a lot smaller.
But it just it's a football game is so much different. It's so much more exciting.
It's a totally different sport.
Yeah, but it's the experience. You got to like take in the experience.
I just don't understand how people.
You didn't even get any food. How did you not get any food?
I wanted a hot dog.
Listen, he got downtown at 3. God. He was in his car by like 4:45.
You and I
that was his
gone
opening
together.
Day experience.
I would have lady and a tramped a hot dog with
Dude,
you.
Dude, if I would have taken that ticket, I would have seized the day, baby. I would have been hobnobbing and partying and having some beers and having a great. I just feel like you squandered the opportunity.
You should have took the ticket.
I would have made use of that ticket.
You should have ripped it right out of his hands and said, "You don't deserve this ticket."
Can we try again? Can I go? I'd love to go. I'd love to go with you.
Oh, with me?
I haven't. The few times I've been to a baseball game with other people, I've had fun.
You think it might be a better experience?
I think if you went with some friends.
Yeah.
And you have 20 minutes to spare or what?
And you're introducing me and reintroducing me to your friends multiple times?
No,
you are
not
hypercritical.
This is insane.
I don't even want to hang out with you now that I know how hypercritical
Paul
you are of people.
Paul Mindermeyer, I wanted to show you this is my guy friend here. This is the man that I know, and he's one of my father's brothers. And I think you're the greatest.
Yeah, I just met you.
You're
twice
the best.
Already.
Oh, wow, boy, it's coming up.
Listen to you.
I should have eaten first.
Then I'm almost pulled up on stage.
And who are you, Mr. Perfect?
Do you know, so hypercritical of all these people? Do you know how many people would have like met Jesus. Those four people over and over again just to get that ticket?
I don't care about those people!
I want to talk to you about... I got my band CD with me if you could give it to Kirk to play.
Uh-oh. Yeah, like I'm standing there. I'm trying to enjoy my orange crush. All of a sudden, Girk from the sales department is like, "Hey, why don't you go up on stage with DJ Teddy D?" And I say, "I don't know who DJ Teddy D is."
Shut up. You should have gone up on stage.
I don't want to go up on stage, okay? I'm off duty right now.
Wow.
Okay?
Oh my God.
Am I going to pump up the crowd?
Josh, you got to mingle, man.
Am I going to pump up the crowd? What do I look like? A DJ Joshy F?
Do you want to go to the bathroom? We can. I mean, you can go first.
I feel so sorry for you.
Oh, stop it. I feel sorry for you.
He doesn't need your sympathy.
Yeah.
How did you... You are just missing out on life.
I am not. God. I went. 100%.
Oh, my God.
And you had a miserable effing time.
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I had a good time. It would just be nice not to have to be reintroduced 35 times to the same people.
It's hard if you're sober. I get that, man, because... I'm not saying Josh is torqued up, but he had one or two and was kind of feeling himself. Meanwhile, Spiegel is, you know, he's got to wake up the next day.
Hey, Josh, take a picture of me.
He gave him an opening day ticket.
I would follow you into hell.
Don't defend him.
Kirk made me take pictures of him and his friends 50 times. I don't take pictures
of people.
It's
called socializing, dude.
People take pictures
of
me.
Like you're irked by the weirdest things.
Why don't you just
like,
put a little monkey suit on?
Like things that are just normal. Like just normal hangout things like annoy you to no end.
Hook him up to one of those little grinder
you don't
music
in public.
Boxes.
I'm done. Oh. Stay in your house.
Where he's tap dancing.
Stay in your house from now on.
Nice.
You don't belong in public. You don't know how to handle it.
There are rules of society.
Some people. Yeah, it's called some people would appreciate someone giving them something of value by snapping a few pictures
of said person. He kind of took him as sort of like a trophy friend here. He took him as, look at this piece of arm candy I got here.
Thank you.
He took him out there as a.
I think he was trying to show him a good time.
Yeah. I think he took him out as an accessory. Josh was used yesterday.
Absolutely.
He was an accessory.
I can't believe you're taking him.
I wouldn't go outside again either. Girk, you son of a bitch! You used my friend as like a bracelet or like a nice piece of jewelry or a necklace or a car that you pull up in front of the club so everyone notices you.
Mike, what's your take on this whole thing?
I just don't understand how you could have been confused as to
baseball being boring. Like, didn't you watch a game before you went?
Yeah, but it seems more exciting on TV. I didn't realize how awful it is until I got there. And then all the people around me whispering, talking about me.
That's the guy that kills people.
Like I'm an animal in a zoo.
Look, yeah, whoever the people were in section 14, row 20, sitting right behind Spiegel. Call in, please, because you really pissed him off.
Yeah, I got a few
that words. The whole 20 minutes he was actually in his seat were infuriating for him.
Hey, Josh, make America great again.
There were plenty of people who I saw there that were very nice.
Of course.
I got a lot of support online on social. People were like, yeah, you went. And it felt very good, so I appreciate that.
Was there anybody sitting directly next to you?
No, because our sales manager was supposed to be sitting there, but ditched me.
He was busy. He's been introducing people.
So I had to sit there alone.
Oh, my God.
Like an animal.
Look at that animal. He's just sitting there alone because no
only
one
20
came
minutes.
With him.
Josh, that's when most people make friends.
I think he's going bald.
Paul, don't do this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That guy's probably going to kill someone at work on Tuesday that's only got one leg because of something he said during the 7 o'clock news.
You
hey,
know,
grab me a beer.
And I appreciate everything. And
if you had to grade your own showing yesterday.
I hear he beat a horse to
death
with
his penis.
Give
you credit for even going because I and I'm not gonna I didn't want
to
say this.
Uh-oh.
I didn't want
to say
this.
But
I heard you trying to back out in Josh Girk's office.
Oh,
I walked by and I heard you trying to back out. I heard Josh say,
"Yeah, I did try to. I'm not going to deny that."
And I heard you trying to back out. He went out of his way. He got you a ticket. And then I walked by and I heard Josh go, the other Josh Girk go, "Well, maybe we could just like give the ticket to Scott." And you go, "Well, he said he doesn't want to go."
Yeah, no, he said that first. And he didn't want me to go.
No, cuz he was picking up on the fact that your head was exploding. Because you didn't really want to go.
This guy doesn't even want to be here.
It's water under the bridge. I appreciate the ticket. I had a good time overall.
I give you an A for effort for even going out. That was really outside of your comfort zone.
Oh, it was outside.
He's going to hold this.
The game started at 3 o'clock. You got down there around like 2, 2.30. You're in your car by 3.45. Apparently...
Wait. Was it
you
tough?
Had half an orange crush. Mm. You got pissed off that people were whispering about you. You got pissed off that you had to take a whole bunch of pictures. You got pissed off that Josh Girk left you.
They introduced you to a bunch of people.
The good stuff? I didn't hear any good stuff.
Just to clarify.
Name three good things.
Just to clarify, I wasn't pissed about taking pictures with people. I was pissed that
you had
to take pictures of Girk over and over and over with his friends. With the same, because he couldn't remember he was taking pictures with those people. But anyway, the good stuff.
I didn't hear any good stuff.
I enjoyed the atmosphere, the festive atmosphere. You know, everybody's positive. I enjoyed watching the dancing and filming that. And I enjoyed the drink. And I enjoyed some of the people. It was good to see the game. Even though it was boring, it was a good experience. You know, I saw one guy in the stadium while I was walking out. And he said, "I said, how do you enjoy this? It's so boring.
How do you watch this garbage?"
Yeah, and he said to me, "You know, Josh, I don't come for the game. I come to party."
Well, there you go. He was walking out with you?
No, he was at a concession stand.
Okay. I got you.
I think you should run it back with your people that you're closest to. I think myself, Wendy, Mike, Scott. I think if we took you, you'd have a much better time. Plus, the next time you went, it wouldn't be the chaos that is opening day. You went on the busiest day of the year if it wasn't for, like, playoffs or something. I think if you went to a normal midseason game,
no,
you'd have a much better time.
No.
We'll get you some whitefish. We'll bring you up. We'll drop you off the front.
He would not have a good time.
Justin, that's about as happy and exciting as it gets.
One word for you. Poppers.
He thought that was boring. That was opening day.
Yeah, it was opening day.
That's a party, dude. He thought that was boring? Go to a regular midseason game when they're 80 games in and they're losing. That's hell on earth.
Yeah, but he's got us on each side of him.
No.
We've got our hands on his thigh.
You're giving yourself way too much credit.
I'm feeding him fries.
No.
No?
No.
I'm licking ketchup off his cheek.
Let's go to a college basketball game.
No, you're not allowed to go to any more stuff.
Let's go to a college basketball locker room.
You've ruined it. You've ruined it. You're now banned.
Mm-mm. Nope. We're going to sit as close as possible. I want better tickets this time. I want transportation to and from.
Nope.
And we're going to get some lunch ahead of time, wherever you want to eat. Ain't going to be. That's not the end of the story. Baseball speaks. That ain't the end of your story.
Well, I'll tell you what, Shogun Fights is this weekend.
He'd hate that. He would absolutely
hate it all.
As exciting as it gets.
Well, I mean, that's...
Listen.
You know I'd love that.
I have worked with the man for 12 years.
I've known him for a millennia.
He's not going to enjoy any of it. It's not him. It's okay that it's not him, but it's just not who he is.
What if you had, like, preferred seating? Mike does bring up a good point with Shogun.
Nope.
Shogun has special cage side seats where you don't have to be amongst
the
masses.
The seats yesterday were really good seats, but then I was afraid that a ball was going to hit me. A ball fell.
He can't enjoy it.
Landed in the crowd, not too far.
Could have killed you.
You put him next to the ring and he can get spit on and stuff. That's not going to happen.
You probably will get,
probably get blood on you.
You'll get blood and spit fleckles on
you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not good.
Keep your mouth open so maybe it'll land right on your tongue.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, he's done.
A great time was had by all.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Happy Saturday, folks. Behind the curtain, we are Justin Scott and Spiegel delving a little deeper into some of this past week's bits. And I learned something this week, gentlemen. Learned something.
What'd you learn?
Learned a hard lesson.
Oh, no.
Long, hard, difficult lesson.
You think you know the people you work with.
I learned that Mike Anderson is a burger snob.
Burger Snob
Burger
Anderson.
Snob Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Burger
Ivory
Snob
Tower
Anderson.
Fancy Pants Anderson.
Now, look, I've said before, the perfect
you
way
got
to make...
all pissed off, and listen, you'll hear it coming up. And when you listen back, if you don't think you sound like a burger snob, you're out of your mind.
Well, no.
You got all bent out of shape when people said they put ketchup on a burger.
I just feel like there's so many other great things to put on burgers that to go with the old standard ketchup, mustard, pickles.
What's wrong with being traditional?
Unless, you know, you're going to a typical traditional fast food place where that's kind of the standard, I feel like if you're going to like a burger joint that has great burgers, to get one with ketchup on it is doing yourself a disservice.
Now, here's what I'll do. I will go to, like, I love Five Guys. I'll go to Five Guys. I always get that double bacon cheeseburger, and on it I get pickles, lettuce, tomato, barbecue sauce.
Ooh.
But if barbecue sauce isn't available, I have no problem doing ketchup and mustard.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all. Now, my go-to night number one is barbecue sauce, or occasionally I'll mix it up, throw a little A1 on there maybe, a little spread of A1. But a ketchup, I don't feel like ruins it. I think you, at one point, you had an overly glopped ketchup burger. I feel like you had a bad one at some point that was just heavily doused in it, and it screwed you up from that point forward.
Well, I mean, I think I'm just not a big ketchup guy. Like, I don't even... I try not to dip fries in ketchup unless...
Get out!
Unless
what?
I have to.
Get
what?
Him out!
What are you...
Suspension!
You're suspended. You just talked your ass into a suspension. So what do you dip fries in?
Preferably a good blue cheese dressing.
Oh, my God.
Enough with the effing blue cheese.
Oh, my
cheese.
God.
Jesus
you're rich.
Christ.
We get it.
We get it.
You're rich.
Everything with the blue cheese with you. All right.
Well, there's very few things to put it
Shut
on besides
up.
Burgers, beef, or French fries.
Put that in a trash can.
It's rare that I eat it. So when I do have fries, I want to have them with some blue cheese. Or I'll do ranch or... Barbecue, honey mustard.
You can have blue cheese money.
Mm.
Premium,
blue cheese on fresh
premium
fries.
Blue cheese, too. Not that cheap stuff in a bottle. I'm talking the can, the jar with the lid.
I went to the food market the other night, which is a fancy place. Pretty fancy. And what did I have?
I got kicked out of an Aldi for shoplifting.
I ordered a steak, but it was steak frites, and it came with fries.
Ooh.
But then the ladies ordered sandwiches, and they came with fries, too, but they had the crinkle-cut fries.
Ooh.
And crinkle-cut fries from a good, like, high-end restaurant like that, or like semi-fancy place. Amazing
crinkle-cut
fries.
Crunchy on the outside, a little bit of puff in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we got deep into it. Hamburger toppings when we try to do sports. It's our favorite sports when we don't get to sports. Hear it now. Hamburgers on Behind the Curtain.
All right. So the Ravens had their pre-draft luncheon, and it was a luncheon. Let's see. It was crab cakes and crab cakes and hamburgers.
Okay.
A little odd combination there, right?
Fancy.
I'd love to know who ate what.
Keith.
Everybody took the crab cake and the burger.
Keith's got two legs.
Paul in.
One second. Let me.
What does that mean? He gets to eat more?
That What's that?
No, I called you Keith.
Yeah, he called Keith by accident.
Oh. I should have realized that you're the guy with one leg.
Admittedly, that's the only way we can tell you two apart.
I understand.
You're the guy with one leg and breasts.
Never.
And Keith, and Keith is an adot. Look, I have breasts too.
Just made
me snort. I love you, buddy. Oh. Now, in my world, a hamburger does not exist. I don't even know what a hamburger is. Mm-mm. It's just cheeseburger.
It's an incomplete cheeseburger.
It's an incomplete
you got the hamburger, yeah. And then they had cheese on the side. And you could add the cheese.
I want the cheese on it, and uh-huh. It better be melted.
Thank you.
Oh.
I never eat cheese on a burger.
I feel like I'm speaking Spanish
here. In Spiegel's world, cheeseburger doesn't exist.
I don't think I could ever
eat. Spiegel's is a hamburger guy.
It's a hamburger that you ruined.
Hey, look, different strokes for different folks,
right? Let me tell you, it has to have cheese, and, you know, it's all also...
In Mike Anderson's world...
Mike?
There is no such thing as a hamburger or a cheeseburger. It is only a bacon cheeseburger.
Yes!
Only!
Yes! Now I'm hungry.
I'm down with that.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Even if it's blue cheese, it goes great with bacon, too.
I'm down with that. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Now, they didn't have
Mike
bacon.
Mike Anderson lives in a wonderful world.
Oh, Josh.
Oh, hi.
Have you stopped by Poulet recently? Not to get too sidetracked?
Go there all the time, but I don't know.
Buddy, if there was ever a reason for you to stop to start eating bacon, they have a prosciutto and bacon-wrapped asparagus.
Oh, I don't like asparagus. And I don't eat bacon.
Make your pee smell amazing.
I am Muslim.
I guess you're out then, huh?
What do you mean?
You don't eat asparagus and you don't eat bacon, you're out for that.
Or prosciutto. Prosciutto's big, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't eat that. I don't want that.
God, come on, dude. Sir. Start. What's the matter with you?
They got good burgers, though.
I mean, you're already covered in tattoos and worship Satan. We might as well have bacon.
You only got a good 5-10 years left on this earth. Let's live them. Let's start living.
Earned it. Everything you've done for the Jewish people?
What do you get on your burger?
Lettuce, tomato, and pickles.
Oh, what do you mean, oh my God? It's fine. It's a classic. Ketchup, mayo?
You put the pickle on the burger?
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. Dill pickle chips? Mittermeier, don't make me throw you out.
No pickles.
Don't make me throw you out.
And I dump loads of ketchup. Squeeze loads of ketchup.
No, I need more ketchup than that.
I love ketchup.
That's a lot of ketchup.
How you doing?
I don't like it. Get that ketchup on.
Now it's good. Now it's tasty.
No mayo?
Oh, no.
I'm coming around to kiss you.
Oh, my God. The only reason I'm still alive is because I don't want
you. Mr. Anderson in the corner, shut your face.
We just talked about putting ketchup on steak, and then you're taking a good burger and just smothering it in ketchup. I mean,
What do you mean? That's America. You put ketchup on a burger.
Ketchup on a burger if it's like a bad backyard burger.
You're out of your mind.
You're stupid.
I love ketchup on burgers.
Of course. Ketchup comes on a hamburger.
I stop.
Not all of them.
When I'm halfway through the hamburger, I take the bun off and I put more ketchup on.
Why don't you put a little pile on the side and you can dunk it?
Or you can get like a dip cup.
That's something. That might be something.
Yes.
Do you know that
squirt
I asked
ketchup in your mouth.
My pizza place to deliver me an extra cup of marinara sauce to dip the pizza into?
Really?
Yeah. What about mustard on a burger? Mustard and ketchup on a burger.
I don't like mustard that
ketchup
much.
And mustard. Only mustard on a hot dog. You put ketchup on a hot dog, you've ruined the hot dog.
I've just started asking my Chinese restaurant.
You have a Chinese restaurant?
Chinese people at a restaurant.
It's called the Peking Hyman.
Put extra packets of the hot mustard in, because I add that to the garlic beef. And I just, my mouth was on fire last night.
And I tell you,
last night?
Yeah.
You're breathing
easy. Time out.
let's go since last Friday, because that was the beginning of the weekend, through last night. So, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 days. How many of those days was garlic beef consumed?
Yesterday was garlic beef. What was yesterday? Wednesday, Tuesday, no, we're clear. Monday, I think I may have had a small garlic beef.
You're going to be hearing a doctor shout clear when he hits you with those paddles.
Yeah.
Clear!
Sunday, Saturday, or Sunday? I remember you said you ordered twice.
Probably, I think Friday and
Saturday. So four
out
of the last 6 days.
Yeah. Wow. This is my new dish. Yes. I love garlic beef.
Mike, go smell him. See if it's exuding out of your pores. It might be.
Yeah. How garlic is it?
I'm sorry?
Is it very garlicky?
No, I actually wish it were more garlic.
Tell him more garlic.
Yeah, go hard on the garlic.
Ooh, get
in
there.
Like, because garlic will come out your pores.
It's like a bloodhound. It's like a bloodhound getting on that.
A little bit?
There's a hint of vinegar.
Oh yeah, it's coming out the pores.
Yeah, that's right.
Garlic and mustard and all that, you'll sweat that out.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, that's really
nice. I love a nice spicy mouth.
I want, oh, whoa, wow.
All right. Let's do some sports.
It hurts, but it feels good.
Speaking of being on fire.
That was because you said the luncheon had crab cakes.
I know. That's like a 5 minute.
I got it on the tip.
Paul, do you now eat your steaks well done with ketchup?
No ketchup. I don't. Medium well.
Oh.
What?
I'm going to need you to do a 180.
Oh, get out.
What is that behind you?
The door?
I need you to
get him out, Mike Anderson. Is the only one on earth that knows how to order a burger. Go ahead, Mike. Explain how you order it.
Please, Mike.
I just say medium.
Medium, and then you can't put ketchup on it because you're ruining the meat.
What other rules do you have in place? Too many places. It's too not done if you order medium.
Well, the burger, I can understand medium well because you never know what kind of beef you're getting, and they tend to screw that up more than they would a steak.
You can't get down with a flat pickle, though?
I hate pickles.
Pickle chips? The dill pickles?
Hey, pickles and anything associated with pickles.
What?
So you just hate pickles in general?
I just hate pickles.
Okay,
if you're anti-pickle just in general, I get that.
You get that cool, crisp crunch of the pickle with the pop of the dill in your mouth.
The mouthfeel of a good pickle.
A nice crisp raw onion on there.
You place one right between your butt cheeks.
Some tomato.
Squeeze.
Yikes. Mm. I go pretty standard. I go lettuce, tomato. Lettuce, tomato.
Still talking burgers.
Onions, pickles.
I pass on the onion. I feel like the onion's overpowering.
Well, I will open it up and I'll take it off and I'll only leave like one little ring of onion on there. Maybe two at the most.
When they open that whole slice of onion,
I gotta remove like those inner rings. Mm-hmm. It's too much onion.
Or when you get the lettuce on there, that's onion-esque because it's the white part of the husk where the meat, excuse me, where the leaf meets the base.
Yeah, get it gone.
Get that out of there.
Now let me ask you this:
Do you spring greens?
Do you take a moment?
I'm a fancy bitch.
And you rebuild and you structure it perfectly
every time.
Every time
I redo
and
the
then
burger.
From there, are we cutting in half or are we not cutting in half?
More often than not, I will cut in half.
Cut the burger in half?
Oh, cut in half. Yeah, cut the burger in half.
I can't cut the burger in half. That's for a child.
Nah, that's good. You get right into the middle.
You get that point. You get the point of the semicircle. It goes in your mouth easier.
You're able to attack better.
Well, I especially consider you would like doing that now, Josh, now that you have a nice, thick mountain man beard.
Yes.
You know, that's something Paul will never truly know. Is when you take a bite of a burger without cutting it, and it's going to sploosh up the side of your cheeks, and you get those juices.
I don't mind getting sloppy.
Well, okay. He doesn't mind a couple of...
Mike, right. Do you cut? Cut the burger?
I used to when I was a child. But now I'm not.
His mom cut it up for him.
Not since he started peeing standing.
Only if it's one of those ridiculously tall burgers that you just, you're not getting that in your mouth. You know,
well, hello there.
Top to bottom.
Oh, I can.
Yeah.
I can get it in there.
Paul can dislocate his jaw.
Mike, can I retweet this that Drew just sent in? Can I retweet that? This is the thing I can retweet.
I don't see why not.
I'm going to retweet this. It's the most pornographic topping of a... Here you go. I'll swing that around.
Speaking of tweeting, I put a poll up on our
Twitter page. Well, hello there.
I see it.
Do you put ketchup on your burger?
I can't say the B word, but...
Would you put up a poll?
Yeah, poll.
Oh, ketchup on the burger poll?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yes, of course.
Of course. I would check Mike Anderson for Russian ties.
Look, if I'm going to a fast food place, like McDonald's, what are you, a communist? Yeah, go ahead and throw your ketchup on there or whatever. But if I'm going to a nice restaurant, I'm not getting... I'm not adding ketchup.
If I'm at a nice restaurant, I'm not ordering a burger.
Explain to me what a nice restaurant is where you get a burger. Say a name. Give me a name.
Like Mother's. If I'm getting a burger at Mother's, they do a lot of burgers there.
Yeah, they do.
I'm not going to say put ketchup on that.
Absolutely, put ketchup on that.
I put ketchup on that, but you can't slather it.
I'm just saying it overpowers the rest of the flavors.
Well, if it depends, like Justin just said, you don't have to slather
it. A hint.
Yeah, you put a little. You put just enough.
A little bit.
You don't drown it. Just enough.
Yes, just a little
in moderation.
Bit. But yeah, I mean, if you do it like what my stepdaughter does, which is try and empty half the bottle onto the
damn thing,
then yeah,
then you're drowning it. Then you're drowning out all the flavors.
Exactly. But it's a nice accoutrement. Oh.
Plus, I'm usually getting blue cheese on top of my burger, which doesn't it doesn't really lend itself well. Blue cheese, hot sauce, jalapenos, bacon.
And you're going to talk to us about how to make a burger.
And some onions.
Okay, that's a great burger. You don't have a leg to stand on.
Paul, are you in tomorrow? Speaking of legs to stand on or not stand on?
Yes, I am.
Could I bring you in an assortment of pickles to try?
No, I'm not. Tomorrow on the show, Paul eats pickles. No!
What is it about the pickle?
I don't know.
It's a homophobia thing.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Oh.
No pickles.
Well, explain to me no what pickles. It is. What don't
I
was, you like?
I just don't. They just, they're disgusting. Just,
are you
just,
scared of cylindrical
like
foods?
Yes. I don't like the smell. I don't like the look of it. I don't like pickles.
I don't think you like cylindrical
foods.
Mike, we're
bringing in pickles.
No!
I think you see a corn dog and your fist clenches.
I tried the pear, and the pear was good. No pickles.
Yeah, no, we're bringing in pickles. We're going to torture you with pickles.
I draw the line at pickles.
I'll get you good pickle. Epic Pickles, local pickle makers.
No.
So good. Oh, some of the ones like Josh, my God, the 7 Mile Market.
Oh,
wonderful
establishment.
The pickles in there, shut up.
Long and fat.
Long, fat, and juicy. You feel just that big pop of juice in your mouth. Let it run down your chin. Like a couple
Hell
of
yeah.
fresh plums taken to market.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Happy Saturday morning, Justin Scott and Spiegel, Behind the Curtain.
Hey.
And a little bit of beef kicking off this past week. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
We went and done did it.
Paul Mittermeier was in for Keith Mills all week long, and it was about Wednesday where everything kind of came to a head between Josh Spiegel and Paul Mittermeier. I think it kind of had to do a lot with the opening day type stuff, and then we got to talking about families and kids, and Spiegel had just had enough. Spiegel had had enough.
Married couples?
Pauline, you know, he's not above taking a nice little cheap shot below the belt here and there, and he likes to get his cheap shots in, and it's just it was a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and I begin to think long-term here with these situations, because it's not like Josh hasn't been put upon for years by a slow, simmering boil of a feud with Keith Mills, who's not long for this job or world. But then to think that the guy that will probably pick up the mantle from him, Paul Mittermeier, already starting in on him. Like, that can't be a tradition that the sports guy, whoever it is, throws a saddle on Spiegs and rides him around the room during every sports cast.
Paul's not picking up the mantle. It's not going to be Paul.
You don't think it's going to be Paul?
No, it's Brett, baby.
Yeah.
Get Brett in here. Brett's the future of Baltimore sports.
Thank God.
Not some overweight, one-legged guy.
Some freak.
I know. The question is, well, whether or not Brett's going to want to give up his show, you know, to do mornings.
Well, let's just say I've had a lot of discussions with Brett. Him and I have lunch on a regular basis.
Yep.
We're very good friends.
Brett's a little dry.
What?
You know what? I'll take dry and calm versus boisterous and confrontational.
Yeah. Right. It's the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They all can't be Jameson Hensley.
Well, my only problem with Brett, much like Keith, is they drink that purple Kool-Aid, if you know what I mean.
Oh, the fact that the hometown apologist Joe can do no wrong, Ray the greatest of all time. Does Harbaugh get a headache from being such a genius?
I don't see that in Brett at all.
You just listen to his show.
Mm-mm. I don't listen
to
AM radio.
The purple spin zone.
The purple spin zone. But there was a hell of a dust-up. Happened Wednesday. Hear it now. Josh versus Paul. I'm Behind the Curtain.
Hey, Paul, let me ask you a question. What kind of relationship do you have with your neighbors?
Yeah.
Where do you live? You live in a house? You live in a house?
I live in
a neighborhood?
A townhouse in the neighborhood.
Townhouse?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. And
need half as many steps to get to the front door because of your leg? Well, right, we're having fun today.
That's even better because it's super close proximity to people.
Yeah, three-level townhouse. Yeah,
and God.
People on the left, people on the right.
People
multiple
on the left, people.
People
on the right, yep.
And what kind of interaction is there when you're going, coming, leaving, all that?
Very good, very good. I have a great interaction with my neighbor.
Oh, of course.
Oh, cool. Because we all pretend to be busy on our cell phones, or we scurry back inside
rude.
Like we forgot something so we don't have to talk
that's
to
just
them.
Rude.
Well, Mike wants to talk to his neighbors, but they all seem... I'm thinking it speaks more to Mike than anything.
Yeah, they all avoid
they
him.
All avoid
Mike's at the center
like
of this.
Like 20 people. It's a handful.
There.
If there's three other apartments and there's probably two people in each apartment, you got six people that are avoiding you like the plague.
Yeah, like I said, maybe it's because I belch loudly.
Is there anything else you do that could...
The porn? Maybe. How loud
is
your porn?
We got a lot of theories about the porn.
I keep that low.
No, I don't know.
What about loud music?
Loud
TV.
What about accidental urination?
Any kind of odors?
Mm-hmm. The smell of urine.
It smells good.
Oh, yeah.
Got 50 Yankee candles in there.
Oh, okay. Smells like a skunk went to the bathroom.
Because Mike said that when he is leaving his apartment or walking up to his apartment, he'll see his neighbor like pull up at the same time, and they'll sit in their car purposely just to avoid having to interact with him. If they're sitting out on the balcony, they'll see him coming, they run inside. If they're leaving and they see that he's leaving his door at the same time, they'll slam their door and wait for him to leave before leaving their apartment, all of which I'm guilty of.
Are they
I do every single one of those.
Yeah.
these millennials?
Yeah, they're all my age or younger.
See, for me, it's a total opposite for me because we even have issues at our place. We, you know, you have to move down a little bit parking wise because our spots aren't right in front of our houses. So everybody kind of goes in the same way and moves two spaces down to park. And my next door neighbor and I got my heat pump replaced. My buddy helped me out with that, and then I got my neighbor hooked up with him and helped him out with his heat pump, too, because our houses are pretty much the same age, so we both needed to replace our heat pumps.
You had sex with your
male neighbor? Settle down, Josh. Settle down over there.
You had sex with a dude for a heat pump?
That's what I heard.
That's what I heard here.
So, yeah, so we all get along. It's great. Except
Paul has sex for appliances.
We have somebody that's moving in down the street, and when they pulled the rider or the moving van in, the U-Haul parked right in the middle of the street, and they blocked our parking spots.
Move the damn
for like 5 hours. It's like,
Well, that's
come on,
one
dude.
Time. It's not like people are moving in every day, right?
What if we found out that person's everyday driver was a U-Haul?
And did they come over to you, though?
No, they didn't.
See, that's the problem. Well, yeah. I would have like, hey, are your spots numbered, too? They're probably numbered with your house number or something?
Yes.
Yeah. So if I saw the number on the spot, I would have went over to that house and be like, hey, we're moving. I'm going to leave this truck here. If you need it moved to something or if I'm blocking you, just let me know.
Right.
I'm Scott, by the way. Nice to meet you. New neighbor.
I grip him by the throat and say, hey, head, when's the last time you tasted your own blood?
You bring up a great point, though, Scott.
Thirsty bitch.
Yeah.
What?
I would have 100% done that. It's the right thing to
do. I got into an argument with Jacob Young, producer on the AM side.
Shocker.
Yesterday.
Shocker.
He just moved into a new house. He's like, none of my neighbors have come over to say hi yet. I'm like, you have to go say hi to them.
Yes, you must initiate.
No, don't people come to your front door with the apple pie welcoming you to the neighborhood?
Yes, they did.
That's how it works.
Green Acres.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
New person.
Here's an apple crumble.
New person must initiate.
Oh, apple crumble.
What?
Yeah, new person must initiate.
Isn't everything I've ever seen in a movie is the doorbell rings and it's some woman in a skirt and a dress going, here's some brownies. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Here we go. It's the movies. It's the movies.
Everyone that I moved in.
Real life?
My neighborhood, everyone came over to me.
Yeah.
I didn't go anywhere. Neighbor to the right, neighbor to the left, neighbor across the street. They all came over.
A lot of people don't know when somebody moves in.
Well, if you clearly know, if it's a smaller neighborhood and you clearly see a moving truck and people move, and the house is for sale and you see people moving in, hey, there's new neighbors on the block.
Now, in my case, there was a weird rumor that got moved around that a local person of prominence moved in and that I played in the NHL. That's not a joke.
Oh.
There was a whole rumor in my neighborhood that a Capital moved in, and it turns out it's just some guy that has access to 1,000 fart sound effects. So, sorry to disappoint.
You didn't play that angle up, you know, grab a hockey stick and pretend like you were a Capital.
Do I look like an Ovechkin? I barely walk straight, much less skate.
Paul, why do you live in a townhouse? Why not in a attached?
I don't know.
Detached.
I don't know.
You struggling?
No, I'm not struggling. I mean,
it's too much work.
Yeah,
a house. I mean, you guys only got one leg for grace.
It's just been there forever.
When's the last time you ate?
When's the last time? A couple days ago, actually. Yeah.
Don't you want like a yard and a garage and
a place to stretch out?
I'm never home.
More space.
Play catch in the front yard with your non-existent son?
Yeah. Thanks. Now I am depressed.
No, okay.
Why aren't you ever home?
Because I'm working on
off with the guy who gave you that heat pump.
Yeah. We're hanging out together.
Spiegel was riding you hard today.
The same way that he rode that dude for a heat pump.
He's angry because I lit him up about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, there's like some sort of weird friction getting built up between you two.
Not angry at all.
Josh, maybe you can go to a half inning of the game tonight.
That's nice. No, I don't want to fall asleep. I don't want to fall asleep. Because I'd miss you, and I don't want to miss a thing.
Damn, son.
Aerosmith off the Armageddon soundtrack.
Paul goes hard.
Hard in the paint.
Anything else you want to say, Paul?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Vocal javelins you want to throw over there?
I'm good. I'm good here. Nice.
Paul is really irritated with me for some reason.
Not at all, Josh. Not at all. No. Just don't take shots at married people, okay?
I'll take shots at whoever I want to take shots. Not everybody is married, okay? The whole world is not married. Us millennials are the future.
And this is why you listen.
Right.
So you don't miss a thing.
By the way,
the
awkward moment this morning.
By the way, I hooked a guy for a hot water heater.
As I walked out of the house today, my daughter walked in the house.
What?
Oh,
walk of shame, dude.
Why would you put that on blast?
Whoa.
How old is she?
Is she a millennial?
She'll be 19 in October.
Oh, dude.
She's a millennial.
And where was she?
At her friend's house.
Her
friend Josh.
Easy, Josh.
Dad?
You're not that naive.
Dad, would you help me bring this hot water heater in? I learned it by watching you.
Did you give her the talk? Who gave her the talk?
Who gave her? Yeah, Mom gave her the talk.
You've had the talk, though.
I've had the talk with her, too.
Okay, good. Are you good at that sort of thing, or is it awkward for you?
It's a little awkward. Isn't it awkward for everybody?
Would you talk to my kid?
There's some people that can navigate those situations pretty effortlessly. I don't think I'm one of those people. It's going to be tough, but...
We should all talk to each other's kids for us. Paul, you talk to Stella. Scott, you talk to Evan. I will talk to whatever Mike does when he slips up at some point.
I'll just be in the corner.
You didn't include Josh. Damn it. Damn it.
Well, I don't have kids. Not everybody has kids.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you couldn't talk to someone else's kids.
Not any that you know of anyway, right?
I don't want kids to learn the way that you have sex, which sends people to the ER. I want to teach them lovemaking. I'm not trying to have the old vagina smasher stop by. I want to have someone that's a little more tender, Josh. You're shattering box springs. You're putting holes in the drywall. All right,
backpedal now.
You're tearing down banisters.
I'm trying to save my life. Let me do this.
Well, Paul, it's been good seeing you.
Oh, you too, Josh. I can't wait for tomorrow. Okay, yeah.
Oh, you're in tomorrow also.
Yeah. Yes.
Gotcha.
How long are you here for? All week?
All week.
Oh, where is Keith?
Because this is going to get...
What is Keith? He's in Florida.
Why doesn't he just
pay attention?
Yeah, why doesn't he just pull the trigger and retire instead of taking...
I'm with you on that
What is going on? Why is he in Florida? Every week.
It's called vacation.
He gets more vacation. I've been here longer than him, and he gets more vacation than I do.
He goes to Mar-a-Lago more than Trump does.
What is going on with him? Seriously. Why is he in Florida? What is going on?
Dude, he's short-timing it, man. He's on his way out.
He's got senioritis. He's got one foot
already
out the door.
Well,
yeah.
Put the other foot out. I need closure.
Yeah. We're sick of wondering who's going to be in here tomorrow. Is it going to be Jameson Hensley? Is it going to have Hollander Riverdancing in here?
Hold on a second, okay? Tomorrow, when I come in,
we will
hear highlights of the Oriole game.
Okay.
Because Keith Mills made that happen.
What?
Oh, wow, cool. I don't know what that means.
What does that happen? What?
I just want to see a fist fight between you and Spiegel before the week's over because the tension is just building.
Yes, and think about how good the makeup sex will be.
I was fine until Paul took a shot at me.
I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover.
I just had a container of hummus.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was fine.
You started it, Josh.
You, the bad.
You started it. You took a shot. You took a shot first.
Taking a shot of married people.
And by the way, I was standing up for Scott and I.
Scott can fight his own battles.
Yeah, I don't need your fight.
You don't need your assistance, okay? You don't need to be his Huckleberry.
Kill me.
He's got it. Now you got him wishing death on himself. Don't you put this evil on us, Ricky Bobby.
Don't put that evil on me.
Don't you put it on me. All right, there goes Paul with sports. We think.
We should have Spiegel act out with somebody else how he would give a sex talk to a child. Or
and
not child, but a pre-tape.
Here we go.
Uncle Josh, eh?
Yes, Evan?
Father sent me over to your house to discuss how men and women, or men and men, or women and women, or whatever, how does sex work?
When a man and woman love each other, the man takes off his pants, the woman takes off her pants,
whoa.
And they get real close, and they become one.
Good.
There is thrusting, fluids are exchanged.
Oh, yeah.
Keep going.
You're not talking to Mike.
No, I'm all in. I'm recording this. I'm just going to play this break back to him.
And... once it's done, there's fertilization,
mm-hmm.
And 9 months later, you have a sibling.
Now, my father says that there's usually waves of guilt afterwards. Is there that?
Yes, there is. There's a lot of guilt when, if you don't want to do it. If you were just, it was like in the moment,
like, you wanted to just have sex, but you didn't want to get the other person pregnant. And you feel guilty that you did that.
That's the talk.
There it is.
That's the talk right there. That's all I needed. We're going to record that. We're going to play it back to him.
Ooh, I hate Paul. Gonna be fine. I hate Paul, that son of a bitch.
Why? What did Paul
I want to kill him. I want to kill him. I don't know. He just had an attitude. He was he had a tude. There was a tone. There was a vibe. I don't know what. I'm going to strangle him.
Get him back in here.
No, I don't want I can't be around him right
get
now.
Get him back in here.
I can't. I'll get violent. No, I don't want to be around
ass.
Him.
You want to beat his ass?
Oh, God, I hope he
I'll hide him near the door. I'll hide near the door. The minute he comes in, I'll linebacker him.
I don't have the strength to confront him.
I'll take his leg and beat him with it.
Oh, look who it is. Look who it is.
I know you got your coat on, you're headed out the door, but after you left in true fashion, when somebody's not around, somebody feels the need to mouth off. He said he wants to, what did you say? You want to choke him? Come on.
Yeah,
say
I said
it to
I
his
want
face.
To strangle you.
You want to strangle you? He wants to beat your ass. He said he hates you, he wants to beat your ass, and he wants to strangle you.
He hopes you lose the other leg.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All you, after you had walked away.
It just occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
He said he hopes your daughter doesn't find as much success in the modeling industry, but not saying that she fails, just sort of like she ends up, doing like Red Lobster commercials.
That's harsh.
No, I just, I was detecting a tone, a vibe, an attitude, and I don't know where it came from.
Do not tune out for Thursday and Friday's show, because this is going to get good.
This will get real nice.
I'm just exhausted.
Can we set a ring up in here?
I'm going to go home and think of other things to bash Josh about tomorrow.
You got to go home and hug your wife, Paul, and kiss your daughter?
Oh,
is that what you're going to do, Paul? Is that what you're going to do?
Ugh. Disgusting.
Your perfect life with your perfect family.
Make fun of alternative lifestyles.
Yeah. Josh and I are going to go see Get Out because we're woke.
I don't have the strength to do this anymore.
Paul thought the hook from Get Out was the fact that it was an interracial relationship. Not the fact that there was some weird murderous family.
All right, Paul.
Goodbye. We'll talk to you tomorrow. There he goes. Paul Mittermeier, just rolling a grenade.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
The work wife. The work spouse, the work husband. Let's call it as it is. It's work husband. No one's got a work wife. Everyone's got a work husband. It's a double standard. The guy that your wife is super close with at work, or your girlfriend's super close with at work. Oh, he's so funny. He's the guy that works down and receiving and shipping, and he comes upstairs, and he's got all our mail. Oh, he hangs out at my desk. He jokes, and he gives me little shoulder rubs, and whenever we have to squat up at work, maybe for a work happy hour or a team-building meeting, we always sit together, and we're definitely banging.
But I ask you this. You said nobody has a work wife. If a woman has a work husband, then doesn't that work husband guy become, then doesn't she become his work wife? Doesn't it go both ways?
It depends. Yeah, if he's a single guy, then I guess it doesn't matter. But if you have a work wife and you're married, yeah, I could see that being the case. We actually got a Facebook message that day. If I could find it, I wish I could have read this thing off. They were talking about the work husband, work wife, whatever. And there was a guy that wrote in and said that the actual husband found out about the work husband and got crazy pissed and went up to work and said, knock it off, to the point where he said he had to be transferred to another part of the company or whatever it was.
Yeah. And so like that guy hears that his wife has a work husband, and that guy immediately knows what's up. Right,
yeah,
he's
this
like,
guy's
F this noise. I'm putting an end to this. Yeah. The woman has to know what's up, right? They're not that naive.
I think she wants to pit them against each other. Let's see what my hubby does. Let's see if he comes to my defense.
You can't be that naive.
He
just
claims
thinking, he's such a sweetheart and he's just a nice guy and, you know, we click, and but it's just strictly platonic. No, he wants in your pants. Mm-hmm. Stop being naive.
Well, we had an interesting talk, some interesting response all about the work spouse, coming up on Behind the Curtain. Mike Anderson, you received an email.
Indeed.
Read this off.
Very much caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Titled, My Wife that she has a work husband.
Salacious.
Apparently my wife has a work husband I just found out about.
I'll just be over here sipping my tea.
She was talking about this guy over the weekend and how well they get along and all the jokes he tells during the day. I saw the guy's Facebook and I was hoping for a really goofy looking guy that has a profile picture with his cat or something. But he's really good looking and looks like he would have a firm handshake.
Damn it.
He's gay, though.
Oh.
Married with a baby, and I know my wife loves me, but still, I don't have a work wife.
Interesting. Really funny. Likes to tell his jokes. I'd love to hear what some of these jokes of his are. Hey, Denise. Hey, Denise, I'm reading a book about anti-gravity. It's impossible to put down. Hey, we're having fun. We're having fun.
Yeah.
Leave your husband. Hey, Denise. Hey. Hey. You know what the first French fries weren't actually cooked in France? They're cooked in Greece. Hey,
come on now.
Yes.
Stop it.
Well, we're having fun. I'll raise your children. Yeah, so the concept of the work husband. This is a thing, and I've heard people bring this up before. Like, oh, it's just my work husband. Don't worry about it. He's my work husband.
Yeah, there's a million places to go with this. Do we go, of the obvious double standard that's probably in place here, that if a guy were to come home and say he has a work wife, he's in the doghouse.
Yeah, you enjoy sleeping in the lawn.
Yeah, sleep in the shed, you psycho.
Sleep
get
under
out
the
of
shed.
Here.
You get out, you mean work wife. Get out of here.
Oh, you go home Excuse to Chiquita, me? Your Excuse spicy me? Latin temptress, and you start talking about a work wife? You're coming in here with skin grafts on. I got to give you a blood transfusion.
Oh, but they're allowed to have the work husband, aren't they?
Oh, it's different. He's just a friend.
He's just friends.
And then the fact that he's gay with a child, I think that's
beautiful.
That's a huge part of it. He's married to another man, okay. Right? So, A.
Committed relationship.
He's in a committed relationship. He's monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
He's gay.
So he could obviously give birth.
I'm assuming he's monogamous. He's married. And okay. He has a child. I think I don't think I have a problem with any of this.
Yeah, it's the last part of it. I think up until that, I'm like, this is Sketch City. But gay, married, with a baby. Now, when you hear about some of the other work husbands around here, like, baby, you've got nothing to worry about. We can never even hang out. He's always there teaching his CrossFit class, and he's like the stunt double for something Pitta. He's like a raven or something. Don't worry about it. We just get martinis once in a while, and he always gets me home to make sure I get there safely. This,
and
I have to wear my dress on a sticker bush.
The best shoulder ups.
He
too.
Does. He's taking a massage therapist class. He wants to get into physical therapy.
I'm sorry. This is your work husband?
This is your work? Yes, there's not. Baby, relax.
No.
Remember that knot that you've been working on for 2 years that you couldn't get out of?
Yeah.
He knocked it out in one session.
Oh, did he? Did he now?
Well, okay. No, it's okay. I like small hands. I prefer yours. His hands are big and real strong, and you can feel that they're attached right to his big glistening bicep. I asked him to flex, but he said he liked that shirt and didn't want to tear it.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah,
it's fine.
You're fine.
No, yeah.
How was your work?
I'm
day?
Supposed to be okay with this.
Your work,
this work husband guy. What's his name?
Bryce.
Mm-hmm. So you got a work husband named Bryce with strong hands.
Yeah,
worked that knot out.
People call him the dragon, but I call him Bryce. He's my work hubby. What about you? Anybody at work that you...
No, I don't got anybody. No, I don't have any of that. That's cool. It's cool that you have that, though, I guess, right? Am I just supposed to be okay with that?
If I ever found out you did, I'd cut your penis off.
Mike, read the email one more time that you got, if you would, please.
Yeah, got this the other day, and I found it very alarming. Apparently, my wife has a work husband. I just found out about it. She was talking about this guy over the weekend and how well they get along and all the jokes he tells during the day. I saw the guy's Facebook, and I was hoping for a really goofy-looking dude that has a profile pic with a cat or something, but he's really good-looking and looks like he would have a firm handshake and save you from a burning building.
Mm.
He's gay, though, and married, with a baby. Mm-hmm. And I know my wife loves me, but still, I don't have a work wife.
Like, even if you feel like a connection with this dude... Why do you got to go ahead and label it that?
The work husband.
Yeah, why do you label it that?
It's emasculating.
Great point. The label of the work husband.
Okay, fine. You align with this dude. He makes you laugh. He's a cool guy.
Oh, my God. He's so funny.
It's insulting to your real husband, isn't it?
He does this thing where he sucks on my pinkies and tells me knock-knock jokes. I think it's wonderful. Hey, Denise. I just watched a documentary about beavers. It was the best damn show I ever saw.
What?
We should get a hotel. 410-338-1098. Give us a ring. The work husband. Hell, the work wife. The work spouse. Kristen Whitemarsh. Good morning. Thank you for holding, Kristen.
No problem.
Oh, very nice. Oh, I like the timbre.
Hello.
Voice. Hello, Kristen.
Speak.
Okay, so my boyfriend
Why are you whispering?
Yeah, why are you whispering?
I'm at work.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sexy.
Are you in the bathroom? Are you in the bathroom right now?
No, I'm at my desk.
Okay. I didn't know brothels were open this early.
Jesus.
Hey.
Damn.
It's called a head shy, Speed.
He
just put one between your eyes.
Sorry
about that. Okay.
All right. No, my boyfriend is actually bisexual, and he has a gay work husband.
And you have the floor.
Wow, that's okay. Let me give me a minute to digest that.
Okay.
So your husband is bisexual.
Bi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting to begin with.
Gay friend.
And then he has a work husband who is gay.
Yeah.
And where do you stand with all this?
I'm fine with it. There's nothing funny going on.
You sure about that?
Are you positive?
I'm absolutely sure. I'm 100% positive.
But if there was, would you even care? I mean, what kind of relationship do you guys have?
I mean, if I was involved, maybe I wouldn't care.
Oh.
Cannonball!
Dives right in the middle of it. Woo!
Oh, yeah, right
there. Let me ask you a question. Has that scenario happened before?
Yes.
In the break room of the whorehouse? Whoa, hey, by the way.
So wait, in the course of this thing, then your husband gets to enjoy both sexes to the fullest?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And you're just
It's 2017.
It is 2000.
Look, yeah, I get it. I'm just asking questions.
We're
man.
Woke,
this is pretty
Kristen.
Interesting.
But
we're
you got to admit, we don't get a lot of stories like this. You got to understand, this is, while more accepted, still not the norm. You, your bisexual husband, and his male side piece that you're totally cool with.
So you've watched and seen and been in the same room in bed with your husband while he's doing things with another dude.
Well, I mean, everybody's involved, so it's fair game.
Mikey, you're helping out, too. You're like, hey, you get that part, I'll get this part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's what.
All right, you take care of the attic, I'll get the basement.
Yeah. I'd like to come and watch, please.
Yeah, this is... We were just talking work husbands. This took
a hard left. Mike, I am putting her on hold.
Are they in good? Are you guys in good shape?
Are you guys? Would you consider attractive?
I absolutely think so.
All right, putting her back on hold. Mike, grab all her particulars. I'm going to need an address. I am going to need availability. I'm going to need to know if they're a member of what I like to call the Secret Keepers
just
Club.
Bring her back. Let's just talk to her. Sorry, the other person
done
online.
Done and done, yes.
Now, when you got into a relationship with this guy, did you know going in when you first started dating him, or was that something he needed to disclose to you?
I mean, I think it just evolved over time. We started talking about things that we would want to do despite of our relationship.
Mm. And he said men.
She's at work.
Oh, I
gotcha. Okay.
Don't get in trouble at work. We're losing her. Are you there?
Yeah.
It's okay.
All right, you need to hang up.
Go to the bathroom.
You do or you don't.
You do or you don't.
You do or you don't, bitch.
Hey, jeez. Mike, why did I say the word?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Kristen. Kristen, do you need to get back to work, or can we take down your information because we want to, pretty much talk to you every day?
You can take down my info.
Done, Mike. I'm going to put her on hold. Whoa.
Wow, that's interesting.
Mike, I'm going to need you to turn a fan on in here and grab me a Pall Mall.
Man, yeah, that's... Hey, man.
You don't get that every day.
No, you don't.
It's the 2017, as the kids are saying.
Yes.
It's
more common than you think.
Apparently in the Kristen household.
So is it, Mike? Anything you want to tell us, Mike?
I follow a lot of different subreddits.
Anything you want to tell us, Mike?
Mike, anything you'd like
no,
to...
No, I'm not
about,
in that...
About to share, Mike? About to share something with us?
It's as vanilla as it gets in the Anderson household. But I'm just saying, I'm privy to this world.
Done some research.
How so, Mike?
Done some research?
Yeah, just being online. Just looking at different, like...
Looking at
like
what,
said,
Mike?
Different
looking
subreddits looking on Reddit.com.
There's a lot to look at online,
there's
Mike,
a lot
but
of
you
people
just happen
that...
to find that.
Yep. You know what? I will have that side of sausage.
You can look up anything in the world on the internet. Anything.
Yep.
You just happen to be real well-versed in that, huh, Mike?
Of course I look up sex stuff on the internet.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's so versed in that.
All right.
I mean...
A lot of things to look up.
Thought you and I were on the same page with the whole... Taiwanese female thing, but
I'm not saying I'm into it. I'm just saying I'm aware that it's very prevalent.
are more prevalent than people would imagine.
You're so clinical when it comes to your porno. This is very prevalent. My penis is very prevalent in my... Well, Michael
okay,
Anderson.
We've got another call.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take that one here. Let's go to Julie in Manchester. Julie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, top that.
I don't know that I can. But
the way he was getting topped.
I had never heard the term work wife before until I stopped by my husband's office one day, and one of the women he worked with referred to herself in front of me as his other wife.
Whoa! Did you punch her right in the face?
Really?
I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. What?
You would say that in my good ear, bitch?
I didn't care. I mean, she wasn't his type. My husband loves big boobs, and anytime he starts working with somebody, you know, all I ask is, does she have big boobs? And the answer is usually no, or not as big as yours, and I'm okay with it. It's all in good fun, you know, I'm not worried about it at all.
Now, you have office mothers. I've seen the office mother before, the lady that's always got the baked good. She's always the person that organizes the Pizza Friday, the Hawaiian
Chair
Festival.
Yeah, that's different.
And a lot of people are like, oh, this is my work wife, and she's sweet. Now, this woman, would you consider her attractive even without the big boobs?
Well, she doesn't have big boobs.
I would say without the big boobs, but still, would you consider her attractive?
Obviously, you're not threatened by her.
Not unattractive.
Okay.
But you don't perceive her as any kind of threat.
Yeah, they're banging.
No, not at all. He likes what he likes, and I know it's difficult for, like I said, I have big boobs, and it's difficult to get them bigger than mine, and they're real.
Whoa.
Shout out.
Julie, what size are we talking?
Picks or it didn't happen.
Hold on, I'll see you.
Whoa!
Oh,
410-338-1098, please.
410-338. Oh, can you do that at the same time when you're
picture
talking?
Sense.
Oh, picture sense. Wow. Technology, man.
Multitasking. Let me ask you this, though. Does this happen a lot with your husband? Is your husband that kind of guy, like really like outgoing, gregarious, and women just like gravitate towards him a little bit?
Well, you know, we'll be walking down the mall, and I'll say, there you go. I mean, I point him out to him. I'm very secure in our relationship. I'm not concerned about it at all.
Is that you in the Baltimore Ravens shirt?
That is me.
Oh, my God.
Nice beaver.
Oh.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got nothing to worry about.
You are safe and secure. Oh, girl.
Hey, what are their names?
Good Lord. Those things are. They're
and
perfect.
I will say is, it looks like it's a little chilly in that office.
Dinner for two.
It was chilly when I took that, yes.
Oh, my God.
And I will say that given the I don't know how to say this, the direction that they...
The antenna?
Yeah, that those are nice. Those are good.
Julie, would you feel comfortable being that there's no headshot of you here? Could we share this on social media?
Sure, you can put it on. I don't care.
Yes!
I don't want to be critical, but...
I sent the picture without my face, right?
You did. Yeah, there's no face.
Yeah. The shirt is a little tight on you. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to be critical.
It's kind of the point.
Well, it's difficult to find ones that aren't.
Okay. Yeah, I have a feeling a boat cover would be tight on her. Oh, my God. Look at those candy corns.
Wow. All right. We got to
look at those Gerard Butlers popping out of there. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Give her anything.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Ooh, well, I ate a pickle. Tried to. Anyways, we've all confronted our food fears on the show before. Mike, notoriously with the egg breakfast and a bacon and beer. How long ago was that, Mike?
That was like a couple of years ago now.
And we have done many, many rounds of blue cheese, this or that with me. Scott, you really don't have much in the way of a food fear. You'll try anything. You're our Mikey. Josh, an aversion to milk.
Yeah, I was thinking about myself. Like, I mean, if you're going to find me something that I'm not going to eat, you're going to have to go like way far. Like, it's just going to be gross for everybody.
Like a durian fruit.
I don't think I have like a normal food that I don't like. Like, Mike, eggs is considered a somewhat normal food. Obviously, breakfast. Everybody eats eggs. He has a weird thing with eggs. Blue cheese. A lot of people eat blue cheese. I don't think I have like an everyday food that I can't. I don't eat anything.
Any of us had a reaction, me to blue cheese, Mike to eggs, and Josh to milk. A visceral reaction, the way that, I mean, Paul needed the juice wiped off, the piece that you were giving him, already small as it is, that little pickle slice,
too big. Like when my stepdaughter, God, you got to cut a piece of chicken down to the effing molecular level. He had to eat the damn thing.
Right.
And Paul's like, no, cut it smaller. He's wiping his tongue off with a napkin.
Yeah, it was, and you'll hear coming up, I kind of had a moment where I was riding him pretty hard. I'm like, come on, you pussy, let's go eat your... And then all of a sudden, I had like a moment of realization. I'm like, wait a minute, this is like an actual real... He, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is a 10 out of 10 for him. Like, he hates them. He was like, and I felt bad. I'm like, man, we're kind of like bullying this guy and eating a pickle when he really, really, truly hates them.
Maybe we'll run it back with Keith, find out whatever the hell he doesn't like. Even though his stubborn old ass, he'd draw a line in the sand that there's no way we could push him across.
That's why we like Paul. Paulie's will at least try it. Yeah. Keith would be like, oh, I ain't eating that. And he would never eat it. And
I guess
like,
I wouldn't be so appalled, not appalled, excuse me, so confused if he took very little coercion into getting us to lick his bare stump, but this, it was over the line for him.
He just hates pickles, man.
Hates pickles. You'll hear about it now. We had Paul eat a pickle. I'm Behind the Curtain. Check it out.
Greatest thing that's happened to a sandwich since sliced bread. The one and only Vlasic Sandwich Stackers. Ham up your ham.
Wow.
Make your tikey pikey. Tap it up with the original Sandwich Stackers from Vlasic. The perfect pickle to stack.
The pickle.
I did not want to do this, just to let you know.
It's like we're forcing you to have prison sex in a basement or something like that.
It's like that, exactly.
We're gonna make you chug.
It's exactly
hot
like that.
Well, I mean, the way that I eat a pickle, I mean, maybe. You know, I enjoy a pickle a little alternatively. Yeah. Delicious.
I can't stand the way pickles smell to begin with.
What is it about the pickle, Paul?
It's just disgusting. Stupid. It's disgusting.
Oh,
I don't like the way it smells. I don't like the way it looks.
I've never heard such nonsense.
I don't want to do this.
I mean, Josh, talk to me here. Holler if you hear me. The pickle is... a staple in the Jewish gathering party diet. Anytime I've seen a gathering of my good Jewish friends, of which I'm a huge supporter. Bit of a giant Zionist agenda over here. There's always been a nice tray of pickles.
Yeah, you got to have pickles with your deli, with your coleslaw, with your potato salad, and just pickles on your own. The Jews are known to wake up in the middle of the night, stroll over to the refrigerator, and eat a pickle on its own in the middle of the night.
What's the difference between like a kosher pickle and a regular pickle?
Well, one is kosher.
One's blessed by a rabbi.
One had a rabbi place inside of
him. One has been to Israel.
Mm-hmm. God, Paul, you are so uneducated.
One
How have
for
you
the
made
Masson.
It your life?
I don't know.
You know
it's
what
amazing.
The word kosher
it's
means?
It's a miracle.
Jesus. All right, we have...
No, I know what the word kosher means, but why? What's the difference between them?
In the flavor? Is there a flavor?
Like a standard pickle...
I don't think there's a
flavor. ...is like a
Vlasic, difference.
But a kosher pickle runs Hollywood and all the banks.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's... how much time we got here?
We got enough time to shove some pickles in.
Four different types of pickles. We got Claussen, Paul, which are in the refrigerated section. That's going to give you good snap, good crunch, nice and cold. We got a sweet bread and butter. We got a kosher dill Claussen. Then we got a Famous Dave's signature spicy pickle spears. Then we have the Mount Olive sweet smoky flavored is the bread and butter chipotle. Do you have any, you hate pickles, you hate the way they smell. Do you want to start anywhere? Anything standing out to you?
No.
Do we push him in the deep end? Or
I'm
we
going straight
him?
Kosher dill.
Go kosher dill. What's the brand?
Oh, oh these
so
are packed
gross.
To the top, baby. This is the Claussen.
Well, I'm coming around.
Kosher dill spear. This is pretty much a pickle, right? This is what a pickle is. A kosher dill spear.
Can you just cut a little piece off for me? I don't want to even touch
you. A child?
Stop. I don't want to touch. Stop.
You a child? It needs to be
Paul,
cut up?
Relax.
Just
smell
cut
it.
A piece off.
Oh, yeah. Relax.
I don't like the way pickles smell.
Hey, Paul.
Smell it.
Paul, check it out.
Oh, no.
Paul, check it out.
Oh, it's just off. Stop! Justin
is about to drink from the...
Yeah, that's good.
Oh.
Easy, leaps up for the pickles.
Cheers.
The pickles need the juice, homie. That's here.
No, I...
Paul!
My breath is going to be so terrible.
I don't have utensils. Work with me here. We're on the air.
Take a bite out of it.
I don't want to touch it.
Squeeze it between Scott's thighs.
Like this?
No.
Here, I'll hold it.
No, put it down.
What is
we can't
situation?
Do these types. You know what I've learned, Mike? We can't do these types of things with Paul because he doesn't follow direction.
What
pick up the
oh,
dish.
Oh, shut up. I ate the pear.
Would you let Scott rub a pickle on your face?
No.
But I'm trying to make it through this break here, Paul.
You just, oh, you just,
this is ugly.
You want me to hold it? I'll hold it and feed it to you if need be.
No. All right, hold on. If I do this.
Put the pickle in your mouth!
God damn. If I do this, why can't you guys respect the fact that I don't like this? Like, I've done a lot of stuff with you guys. Like,
where is this on
a,
all right, where is this on a, like, we've done this with Spiegel with milk. He hates
this is
milk.
Like, I'm
hates
telling
the
you.
The bubbles, hates the look.
This is
just
10.
Is this 10 out of 10?
This is 10.
Okay, we'll get, let's give him a little
just
bit of respect.
Force it on him.
No, Mike has eaten eggs. Josh has drank milk. I have had blue cheese. And Scott once right, tried on a regular condom.
Out.
You should eat a pickle.
We need to respect his phobia. If this is a 10 out of 10, this is
I
tough.
Mean, literally, I am dying right now because I can smell it from all the way over there.
Let's, yeah. Play some nice music.
Were
These
you,
headphones are killing me.
Were you touched by a sassy stork once?
No. Hey there, Paul. This is just between you and I. Try this Vlasic pickle between your butt cheeks.
Paul.
I can't do this.
Leg. Look at his fake leg down,
I can't do it. I cannot do this.
Do not tell me these pickles were purchased for naught.
You want me to baby bird the pickle into your mouth?
That's a great idea.
I told you, if you cut off a little piece.
A little mouth relish?
I don't have a knife.
Well, go get a knife.
Can't you just bite a little piece?
No!
Get
a knife.
And now you gotta run out of the studio and get an effing knife. You're such a child.
Okay, you have the discs over there, the slivers, the chips, the little chips.
These are yummy.
Look at those.
These are really yummy, Paul.
They're very tasty. And it's a chip. Look at that. Look how tiny it is.
Can you, like, get all the juice off of it?
Oh, my God.
No! A pickle comes with juice on it! Eat the pickle
Seriously,
with the juice!
Get the, like, excess juice off of it.
I'll suck it off and spit it on your forehead.
All right. All right.
There you go. That is a, he's got a nice little piece.
Eat it,
Wow,
pickle.
Look at him.
Eat it,
Wow,
pickle
this is
whore.
Real. I thought this was going to be, like, more of a bit. Now I feel bad, dude.
Are you crying, Paul?
Yeah. Oh, God, it stinks!
I feel like he was felt up by a cucumber farmer.
Seriously.
All right.
He threw it across the console.
Where's the water?
Yeah, there is no water.
There's none.
It's disgusting.
Mike, spit in his mouth.
That's a good pickle.
Oh, watch this. No, stop. Oh, stop.
Oh, yeah.
That's it, Scott. Oh, man. Boy, Scott would be the belle of the ball behind bars.
Good.
Wow. Scott just treated that pickle
Try
proper.
This one.
No! No, no more! No, oh, my God, it's just disgusting!
Relax, man. This is a different type of pickle. This is a bread and butter. This is sweet.
You'll like this one. He's right. It's got a sweet hint to it. It's nowhere near
like
as
heat?
Bitter.
Do you like heat?
No.
It's very mild.
I'm not a big heat fan.
Try that.
There you go. Put that pickle in your mouth, you little
That's
bitch.
A different kind, homie. That's your bread
what
and butter.
What did you call me? What?
That was Josh.
That's not actually. It doesn't smell as bad.
See,
suck that pickle.
The bread and butter, dude.
Suck that pickle.
Look at this. It's got some heat to it. Wait for the heat.
Wait.
Oh.
Oh my God, that's disgusting.
Stop throwing the plate around.
It's disgusting. It's this. No, that's it. I'm done. That's it.
All right, this is a regular just bread and butter. Here, try this little piece. Try it. He's putting it to his tongue. He's like doing a.
Oh my God! My six-year-old does
that.
No, what?
Are pickles like cilantro, where some people are just genetically designed not to like them?
This is the worst day of my freaking life.
Oh,
we licked your stump.
This is worse than the day that I got my leg cut off.
Oh,
that's now the second worst day of your life when you had a boat rip your leg off.
This is number one now.
Whoa,
Paul! Paul, it's
awful.
I'm sitting over here. I'm in heaven.
I'm going to destroy these
Mike,
today.
Mike, did you try the bread and butter Chipotle?
They're really good. And I usually don't like Mount Olive. Those are tasty.
Wait for the heat. Wait for that heat.
It sneaks up on you on the back end.
It's like one of those good barbecue pickles.
Yeah.
Paul.
It's awful. Oh, what's the matter with you?
We were trying to expand your palate, man.
I know, this is awful.
Where does it come from?
Look, you know, guys, I'm willing to try new things, but that was just disgusting. Ugh.
Were you sexually assaulted by a vegetarian when you were younger? Like, what?
It just doesn't. I just don't like the smell or the taste. Is there anything that you just don't like the smell or the taste of?
You know, I'm not a blue cheese guy, but I'll try blue cheese if it's highly recommended. Like, shout out Dave Ray, their mother's
Does
blue
it, like,
cheese.
When you get it close to your nose, do you just like feel like you want to vomit?
Not really.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel with pickles.
Like, I don't like onions, but if they're diced up inside of a meatloaf or a chili or a salsa, I have no problem with them. You're having a visceral reaction to the pickle.
Big time. Big time.
All right.
I'm proud that you even tried it, though, Paul. That's like a 10 out of 10 for you to do that.
That is.
Ugh.
they're all delicious. They're great.
Sure.
Oh, I got the pickle belches right now.
I'm not too big on the spice.
Oh, my teeth. Oh, my God. I could taste my own teeth.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Oh, it's Saturday. Thank you for joining us on...
Pardon me for eating.
Okay, it's a Saturday. We're loose here. We're loosey-goosey. Behind the curtain. Yesterday, Friday, we had comedian Capone in here. You can check him out, Baltimore Comedy Factory, tonight if you'd like. And damn if he doesn't have a great laugh, which kind of just... It's infectious, gets you laughing, and it just leads to, like, good times. And Paul Mittermeier's in here all week, and... We kind of rode him pretty hard this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, we forced him to eat pickles earlier in the show, and then later on, we invited him back
to apologize.
To like, see how he was doing and apologize, and then here we go again. Then we just started ripping into him again. It's like almost like we can't help ourselves.
He's not listening. I know he doesn't. He only listens to AM radio and old-timey vinyl. I texted this to Mike earlier. I'll let you read it off. I texted that to Mike. I think we should do that sometime soon. See that?
Yeah, that would be nice.
You think that's a good idea?
That would be nice.
Josh, I'll show you.
Here, okay.
I'll show that to you. I texted that to Mike. I think we're going to do that soon with Paul Mittermeier. Oh, okay. It's been a while since we've done one of these. I think just as a sign of our appreciation. Hey, speaking of, maybe we can have two stories from this week overlap. Paul Mittermeier, beaten road hard, put away wet. Passing of Don Rickles. What about the roast of Paul Mittermeier?
Yeah. I'm down with that. It'll be fun.
I mean, there's a lot to do. We can do it with this whole, what's that goofy organization he's with, NAMBLA? What is it?
Oh,
no,
Jesus.
Did I
got
it wrong?
Holy cow.
What is it? The Ed Reed Valor Award? What is it?
Ed Block Courage Award.
That's the one. That's the one. Thank you. Sorry, I don't listen when he talks. Maybe we pair up with him and his friends and we do a roast of Paul Mittermeier. And one of the guests could be... There's a special guest appearance during a This Is Your Life segment, and we bring out the leg that he lost, but it's got a little bow tie around the chin, a little leg tux.
He's gonna jump off a bridge.
Yeah, Paul Mittermeier's probably going to die, and we're going to have blood on our hands because of the things we say.
Oh, and to get behind the curtain here, really? Paul came back to the office that morning and was saying, you know.
Wait, when? Was it what time?
After the big break where he was beat down while Capone was in here.
All right.
And he's like, I can't believe the stuff you guys get away with on the air. And I'm like, what? We didn't say anything that controversial. He's like, all the, you know, politically incorrect stuff. And
what do you,
there like, was, what did we say? Politically incorrect.
Which, yeah, there wasn't anything I didn't think, which led me to believe that, yeah, maybe he was a little hurt.
I told you. Dude, I'm very good at picking up on this thing.
I knew he was. I knew it. He was playing it off like it was the pickle stuff.
I mean, what can he do? You really can't, like, except fire back a little bit, but...
I liked it, but when he started coming back at us, that's what I like. Like, I like when he fires back.
Yeah, he ran us all down, one by one by one, and, I mean, he wasn't wrong at all. I didn't agree with him screaming white power over and over again, but...
What did he say that was politically incorrect? Nothing.
He said the making fun of handicapped people.
Oh. Well, no, we're making fun of him.
Yeah.
And I even said, I'm like, you're not handicapped. I don't consider you handicapped.
He's handicapped.
I mean, he's fully... I mean, you would never know that he is...
This is another thing we got to worry about now. Yep. Oh, God.
Yeah, we got an HR issue on our hands.
Great. Great. All right. Well, we made fun of a handicapped person, and that handicapped person does sports. It's Paul Mittermeier on Behind the Handicapped Curtain.
Joined the studio by Kimono. What the heck just happened there? What was that?
Brain fart. You pulled a Justin.
Capone. Baltimore Comedy Factory. All weekend long, Baltimore Comedy for showtimes and tickets.
Yeah, baby.
And you just had him crying.
How?
He liked us riding Paul.
we put a saddle on Paul. We like to ride him around the studio.
My God.
Down, Paul! Oh. Here comes Paul back into the studio. Here he comes. At some point, we are going to have to do a Paul Mittermeier Appreciation Day, lest he take his own life on air one day.
Yeah, like, as he was walking out of the studio, I looked over at him, and he looked a little broken.
I think today...
I was like, did we go maybe a little too far?
Did we break Paul today?
I don't know. Usually, he kind of goes along with it, has a good time, but today, he was like, man...
We're forcing him to eat pickles.
Kind of had his head hung low.
Yeah.
He wobbled out of the studio on that fake leg of his. I was like, oh, man.
I know I should, but I feel nothing. I feel I almost feel satisfied.
Oh, yeah.
You are a sociopath. You realize that.
Yeah.
This is the closest Josh gets to an orgasm.
I just met him, and he looked pretty sad after that.
He did, right?
Yeah, I think we
knew
might have,
it.
I think we might have broke Paul. Mike, if you're listening, go get Paul. Go get Paul. If you're listening,
God.
Mike.
Yeah,
I'm
bring
sorry.
Paul.
I got to make sure we didn't break Paul. Because we only get one Paul. Once we break it, we have to buy.
Well, you know
one.
What it is. It's like it's Friday. He's been here all week.
Yeah,
and I think it's just cumulatively. It's gotten to him.
We can be a lot. I mean,
but I always like to tag it with, you know, we kid because we love, but I guess it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. Listen, Paul, just
sit down,
Paul, sit down for a second. Paul, put
just
your headphones
down.
On.
It's a beautiful shirt, by the way.
It's a lovely shirt. You're a lovely man. Paul, we, at the end of a week on a Friday, where you've been with us all week long, we feel like we might have broken you.
No.
Are you
sure?
No, I'm good.
Because
really?
Scott's got a good radar for this stuff.
No, I'm fine.
I don't know.
When you walked out after that last sportscast, you seemed...
No, I'm fine. Really? I have no impulse to climb a tower somewhere and shoot people. I'm good.
Oh, wow. He gave a very specific scenario.
Yeah, we have a tower.
That's too specific.
Yeah, that's real specific.
Mike,
no one,
Mike, check his,
no, really.
Mike, check his car.
Check the towers. If we find you with your hand on glass looking out on a rainy day,
we're doing a check-in. We're doing a wellness.
I'm good.
We're doing a wellness.
I'm good.
We're doing a wellness check.
You guys have been pretty harsh this weekend. I really didn't appreciate the whole pickle thing, okay? But
the pickle things, what got you?
The little things,
we
Justin.
We fed you.
It's the little things, Justin.
We fed you.
Yeah, dude, any other person, like you say, hey, we got all the pickles you can eat. They're doing backflips.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
So... Y'all knew he didn't like pickles and gave them to him?
Yeah.
As many as we could shove in his mouth.
Wait, that's not an understatement. Like, despise.
Yeah.
Despise.
Despise
wow.
his pickle.
That's how they roll.
Denim pickle.
That's how they roll.
Yeah, but look, in all fairness to us, going into that, at least for myself, I didn't realize that, like, that was a 10 out of 10 for you.
What part of I don't want to try the pickles did you understand?
I thought maybe you just, like, didn't really like them, but it was deep for you. And
real
deep.
You sensed that, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Halfway through, I'm like, man, I feel bad now.
Was it a whole pickle or sliced?
I made him cut it. They wanted me to hold it, and I wouldn't hold it.
And
I wouldn't
Paul
even hold
asked
it.
Scott to get rid of the juice that was
How
on
get
the
rid
pickle.
Of the juice on a pickle.
The juice is part of the pickle.
It's part of
the, hey, I love tacos. Get rid of the shell.
Oh my God!
Part of the pickle. Oh.
You know, hey,
but it is okay. What it is. Wow. You lived through it, right?
I'm good.
You
I'm
came
good.
Out on the other side a stronger man.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about that shirt.
Oh, you're in. What's wrong with my shirt?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing's wrong with that shirt.
It's nice, but you should just know.
You should burn it.
Yeah. And it's a black shirt. It's very nice, but it's not thinning, if that's what you were
it's
going for.
It's very billowy. It's very... It's a lot of fabric.
It's fluffy.
Very billowy and fluffy.
You look like a black cloud.
That's what I was going for.
You look like a black cumulus
So
cloud.
Wait a minute. So
you
brought...
Like a high air balloon.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Hold on a second. You brought me in because you were concerned.
We felt bad
for my welfare, and
we're
then you bashed me about my shirt.
We're doing it again.
Paul,
I
that shirt makes you look like the knight.
Look
Paul's
at the sleeves.
Outfit is the knight.
There's like pleating on the sleeves. But look at these. Yeah, that. Look at the pleats.
Oh,
it
God.
Makes the shirt like three times bigger than it should be.
You look like the maitre d' at a Sizzler. Like you're gonna sit people next. Can I get a table near the soft serve machine?
What size is that? Is that a double?
Yeah, sure.
It is a double. What do you mean, yeah, sure?
Sure.
Paul's tapping his fingers on the table.
Oh, no, the same fingers he's going to wrap around the trigger of a bolt-action rifle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is it an X or a double X?
Hey, Josh, have a great weekend!
Hey, here's an idea.
And trust me, he would be the first one.
You're not-
Well, okay. Mike, get the door.
Wow.
Oh, that was a threat.
Wow. Who's second? Yeah. Who's second?
Oh, in order, it would probably be Josh, Scott, Justin, and Mike.
Yeah, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. I get a head start.
Why that order? Why that order?
So
I'm
it's
I'm at
Josh.
Peace with that order.
Oh, my
I think
God.
That's the proper order.
Josh, ooh. Scott, Justin, Mike.
That's the proper
himself.
Order. Let me do this. Your daughter is a model, right?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Can you stand up and model that shirt?
Yes.
Come on. You've had to have learned something watching that.
Come on, model in fancy pants.
No.
Come just on. Stand no. up. Let me see that shirt.
Come on, right said Fred. Let's do it.
You got that from TJ Maxx, didn't you?
I've had this shirt forever.
He got it, right? He got it from a dude named TJ Maxx. He got it from a guy named Ross. All right.
Stand up. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
See. Let's see you do it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'll stand up in a second. But this is coming from people. This guy here has the ugliest shirt I've ever seen.
It's a nice shirt.
Hey, seriously. Hey. Seriously. Justin, you're like Mr. T-shirt.
Oh, he's firing back. He's firing back.
Oh, he's coming back. Oh,
seriously?
He's coming back.
And what the hell are you wearing?
Zip up. Zip up.
Right. And you're busting on my shirt?
Yeah,
Come on.
We got no room to talk.
Damn, he's right. We got no room to talk. God.
How dare you?
My sleeves are too short.
We got no room to talk. Damn it.
All right, here he goes.
There it is.
Ooh, there he is. And modeling the nothing from
body?
The never-ending
you
story.
Paul's, you see Paul's body. Like, you see the breasts, like, poking out a little bit. And the belly. And that's my body in 10 years. That's fast forward. That's exactly what I'm going to look like.
Have
in 10
you ever
years.
Watched the news and as you look at shots of the BP oil slick, you said to yourself, "I wish I could wear that." I need a shirt.
I need
represents.
I need to do a lifestyle changer. That's me in 10 years.
Well, there you go. Just hug it, embrace it. It's going to be you.
I'm either going to embrace it or fight it. I'm not sure yet.
Man.
But look, we love you, right? You're still loved. You're beloved by many.
Yes, but hey, all things considered, for you, at least you have two legs.
Oh, yes.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I can lay my head on my pillow at night knowing I have two legs, and you only have one.
Capone's not laughing at that.
I look confused.
He only has no clue. Yeah, he's got a fake leg.
Oh, wow.
Paul's shirt looks like aerial footage.
Wow, right? Wow.
Your shirt looks like aerial footage of the Million Man March.
Oh, wow.
Oh, now all of a sudden.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
He's like, now he's Capone, like, really feels
he's like,
bad.
He's like, this dude is really effed up.
No, it's amazing to me right now how the segue just went from shirts and everything to at least you got a leg and
at least you got
everything just everybody's face came to sorrow.
No, we're good
except
with
his.
We're good with
because I know what Paul's trying to do. He's trying to get everybody soft. I'm not backing down.
He's trying to guilt trip us now. F you, Paul. Not going to happen. If you hobble out of here, loser. You're going to get me soft.
Equal rights.
Okay.
Oh, he's
and
got
again,
one.
And again, that's why Josh would be first.
Yes.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Filthy Cars. We discussed it on Thursday, and I feel like this is in line with other conversations that we've had where you see one aspect of someone's life. I didn't get to talk about this on Thursday, which I'm glad we're doing it now. Where you see bad teeth and you think of something else. You see jacked up feet and you think of other things. I see a really wrecked up car. Very rarely you can see a wrecked up inside of a car and the inside of their house looks like a palace. I feel like a car is a pretty good indicator of what's going on at home. Not 100% of the time.
Pretty close.
But the majority of people I've ever known that have treated, you know, the inside of their cup holder like a crock pot for various gross old liquids, the inside of their house has a lot of broken driftwood furniture.
And you'll hear me say coming up in the break here, I think a lot of it also has to do with the way in which you were raised and, you know, what you watched your parents do or how your parents' cars were. And, like, I guess maybe because my dad was in the car business, but, like, we were always washing the cars, always keeping the cars nice, vacuuming the cars, taking care of the cars. Mm-hmm. Cars were, like, always a thing to be taken care of.
Your dad's business relied on a good-looking car. He can't go and roll up in some ratty vehicle. Or didn't he? He had a kind of a rotating bunch of vehicles.
Well, yeah, he had a loaner.
He had a loaner, so he can't take that loaner back, and the thing looks like he's treated like a rolling daycare center.
Yeah, he just
got to be spotless.
A nice company car.
Yeah, I think kids are the other X factor, too. I think some people just get so overwhelmed, you know, with four kids in the back of a van that it gets out of control.
Dude, what about the people that, these are all cars, I'm going to say, throw a round number out here. 90% of them, they're owned. With a payment, not a payment used car. What about the leases like this? Where people that do this to their cars will lease a car that they have to give back at some point. Josh, you lease.
You like to get a fresh car every couple of years. Mm. So you gotta keep that thing nice.
You got to get it cleaned. You gotta keep it in top tip shape.
Top tip.
Top tip shape.
Top tip
there
shape.
There it is, ladies
top
and gentlemen, tip. On a Saturday morning. Top tip shape.
You don't want to put the
chicken before the horse.
All right, listen to us talking about top tips inside of a car horse. Filthy vehicles. I'm behind the curtain.
Hey, I was out there. You haven't been out to the parking lot, have you, Mike? I was going to say, should we attempt to
triangulate?
See if it's out there. There was a car out in the parking lot. I'm thinking it's a younger person.
Yeah, this isn't someone of prominence downstairs in television or up here in sales. Like, if you're a salesperson here, our salespeople have some pretty fresh whips. You're going to pull up to a client, an ad agency. You want to look nice.
And it wasn't so much the outside, it was the inside. I walked by this car, and
it's filled with blood.
I mean, I did a triple take. I was like, inside of this car was just a pigsty.
What do you say?
Just Rapper's front
clothes.
Seat just covered. There's some clothing. There's shoes. There's food wrappers. There's everything.
You know what I can't do? Most of those things, I'll breathe through my mouth and tough it out if I've got to catch a ride in one of those. If I look in and I see the passenger seat, passenger floorboard, a sea of cigarette ash, I'll walk.
It's the worst.
I'll walk.
Or if they've like started using the cup holders as ashtrays, and just piles of cigarette butts.
And look, a lot of times, especially, you know, it seemed like just based on my sleuthing, you know, younger person, doesn't have a lot of scratch to rub together. Mm-hmm. They're hustling, might be working a couple of jobs.
When diamond detail is so affordable,
sometimes they use they use their car's changing room.
Yeah.
Because they're going from one job to another job, then maybe another job, so they're not home a lot. So they're eating on the road, they're changing on the road.
They live in
it
that
happens.
Car.
It happens a lot, but it was I don't know, man. Every time I go fill up my gas, I do a once-over through my whole car.
Spring cleaning.
Every single time I fill up, I look at all the usual build-up spots where the junk lands.
In between the
and
seats
and as the car
the
is filling, you just take 2 minutes, go through it, and you chuck it all right in that garbage can right between the gas pumps.
How great was the technological development of the minivan and now SUV built-in vacuum cleaner?
Vacuum. Yeah, I would like to have one of those.
Like, just because it's a sedan doesn't mean I don't want a little mini handy vac in there, automotive manufacturers. If I pick up a new Sonata or something like that, or one of Josh's badass Infinities, I mean, just because Josh drives a sweet-ass coupe doesn't mean you can't hide like a little handy vac underneath the seat. I want to see this car. I believe I've seen the one you're speaking of in the past. I don't want to blow up what type of car or whatever, but I've seen some stuff in parking lots before where it's nothing but discarded mail.
Oh, the car hoarders, the where car it hoarder, comes up above the seats.
Where they have just enough room to slide a body into. Like, you can't see out the rear view window. You can't see through any mirrors. The passenger side is butt to ceiling.
Yes.
And like the example you gave, that if you're living in a car, you're a young person, I got a morning job. In the afternoon, I do temp work. In the evening, I'm tending bar. I got to live in the damn thing. I would think that the opposite would be true. If you got to spend so much time in that thing,
keep it nice.
Yeah. If I got to spend all day in that thing, like, I love my Elantra, and I got to drive to and from quite a bit. Annapolis, I got to spend a lot of time in there. I don't like clutter. I can't do it. I get the feng shui of the car is very important.
Yes. Yeah, I need to, if I'm going on a road trip or something, I know I'm going to be spending a longer amount of time in there. I want everything in its respective little nook in the car. Mm-hmm. I want my charger cord laid just right. I want to be at peace.
Do you know how, I'm so OCD. I'm currently driving around in a mild state of panic over the dumbest thing. My charge cable for my car, for the lighter socket, went bad. I ordered a new one. And I accidentally ordered an 8-foot-long cable.
Too much cable.
I have so much cable. So much cable.
You need a wire tie, or you got to like tuck it down in between the seat or something. You got to get it going.
I have to tuck it. I tuck it so much, and it's spooled up, and it's like congealing like hot spaghetti. Spaghetti. It's everywhere, and it's driving me nuts. The car will be completely clean, but because of that cable, I feel like, oh, my car's a mess.
What the hell is going on?
It's popping off now. 410-338-1098. I was headed out to my car the other day.
Ugh.
Glanced over into one of the cars in the parking lot, and it was just filthy.
Ugh.
Filthy.
It's like a toilet in that thing.
And I don't get it. And I know one of the big arguments is going to be, well, I spent a lot of time in my car, you know. But that's the more time I spend in my car, I want it to be, I need it to be clean
exactly.
And nice. I can't be in there with it when it's chaos and disgusting.
One of the better car ads that hit me are the ones that reiterate to you how much time you spend in the car, so why not spend it in a luxurious interior? Like the inside of the new Hyundai Elantra Sport 4-cylinder from Jones Junction Hyundai feels like you're staying in a 4-star hotel. Like, I want that sort of stuff. I don't want to feel like I'm in a dump somewhere, like I'm in a recycling center, like a burst septic tank. And some of the photos that we're getting, the sexual assault you're committing to your cup holders.
Oh.
Ew. Pools of unidentified liquid that at one time might have been a coffee, might have been a soft drink.
If you're in a car right now, driving, and you know it's a filthy car, grab your phone, take a picture of that car, send it off to us at 410-338-1098. The dude with the dip cup in the center console, with the it's black and the spit is all over it, and then you got three cans of chew on the floorboard, and one of the cans of chew is just open on the floorboard of your car. What is the point of that, homie?
You're a savage.
Savage.
You are a cave dweller.
I mean, I think we all keep pretty clean cars in here. Like, a Spieg's got a nice ride, nice and clean, maybe a little dog hair from time to time. You'll have that. You, nice car, nice clean car. I like to keep them clean. I think a lot of it has to do with the way you were raised, too. Like, I came from a family where we took care of our cars. We always kept them clean, just kind of in my blood. Mike's is okay. Sometimes he'll have a buildup of trash. But
all of our cars will get cluttered, but we won't leave them like that.
Yeah,
there's been certain times my cars look like I'm making a clothing donation drop-off in there. I've got so much stuff in there. But then when I get home, I clean it out.
Clean it out, lazy people. What? Is that the floorboard of your car? It says what I am currently sitting in. This, look at the floorboard between his legs.
Oh, come on.
Looks like a...
Oh, my. That's like Aretha Franklin's panties.
But even worse,
it looks like a woman's closet. And that, I think that's a guy. It looks like guy legs.
Ugh.
Rolling in the deep.
Even worse than the trash, though, is the grime. That sticky grime that's all over the dash.
The one photo.
The cup holders.
The one photo we got of the work truck cup holders.
Oh, my God.
Look at those
Taylor.
Cup holders. Those coins have changed different. There's coins that are now green.
Jason Taylor had a little Mazda, Waldorf, Maryland. He grew up in Pinefield. Oh, dude, there's corn growing in that
cup holders.
Like that money, that quarter
it's
is only worth 23 cents.
That's
a 23-cent quarter. It's covered in so much funk. Jason Taylor had this little Mazda that we would take to and from DC, whatever. I can't tell you how many condom wrappers I found in the back. Wrappers. Luckily, I never found the full sheath.
So just the wrapper.
Just wrappers.
Okay.
But, dude, still, man.
Still.
Chuck it out the window.
Like I said, when you're filling up your gas and you hit that little lever and it clicks and it fills by itself, take 2 minutes. Go around the car and clean it up.
Take the time.
You're lazy.
Who's been holding for a hot
people.
Second here? Oh,
gross.
Brian, Parkville, good morning to you. Fingers crossed your friend never gets pulled over.
I have a visit guy. It's not really a buddy of mine, but he's a guy who goes to this bar that's right across the street from my house. And his car is filled to the top. Every seat, the floor, all the way to the top of the car, filled with beer cans. They're old. Some are rusted. It's disgusting.
What? He's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And if your friend ever gets pulled over in that hopefully less than 50-yard drive to the bar, he's done. I mean, any cop worth his weight's going to peer in there and see 500 Schlitz cans, some of them so old that they're rusted. But you're going to the Hooskow.
Oh, man, we're getting a ton of text photos at 410-338-1098. Send us your photos of your filthy cars. God, look at this guy. That's a Taco Bell wrapper.
Oh, my God.
What is that? A Back the Birds bag.
Patrick.
He's got a water bottle. Look at the floor of this car.
You know people that have kept stuff in their car so long.
Oh, man.
That it's changed. The molecular structure of the item has changed. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey there. Turn your radio down, buddy.
All right.
There you go. Your roommates kept what in their car so long?
He kept a bag of salad in his car so long that it actually turned into dressing.
Oh, yeah, when it just decomposes, it becomes that sludge.
It turned into a smoothie in a bag.
Now, what is the reasoning? Exactly. Why didn't you just reach back and throw? How lazy. There's no other reason, right? It's just laziness.
It's not like a gym bag or a heavy weight. It's literally one of the lightest things you could have. It's a bag of iceberg lettuce. What was it? I mean, I've had situations before, Patrick, where I've brought groceries in from the store and something fell out.
And you didn't notice.
And yeah, I'm like, oh, what's that smell? Oh, damn it, that grapefruit rolled under the seat and it's gone bad. Why was the bag of salad in the car so long it turned into Italian dressing?
I mean, he's got a beater car down in Baltimore. He doesn't clean it out at all. He's got spaghetti in between the seats. I've had to move his car before. I had to hold my breath the entire time. He had one of those three car parking garages.
Oh my god, Mike, we got to make a gallery of these photos.
Thank you, buddy.
That we're getting.
Some of these photos that we're getting in. Listen, we'd love and appreciate you.
Clean your damn cars out.
We're getting images of what I thought was war torn Aleppo, and it
horrifying.
Turns out it's just the front seat of a Stanza.
This the amount of ash and food. Pork chops.
It's the food. That guy had spaghetti in between the seat. What are you eating pasta for in there? Oh, God. Let's go to Amanda. Oh, a lady. Ooh, ladies. Lovely ladies. Amanda Reisterstown, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi. Hi there.
I'm not sure I like the way you said, ooh, a lady. Right. Like,
Amanda,
it even were.
I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen to me
you
good.
Know it. You know it, ladies.
All right.
If I find out that there are any feminine products in your car, I rip the phone out of the wall and I throw it in a trash can.
No.
No, you won't have to worry about that, but there are probably two dirty diapers in there.
From me or a kid? Are you incontinent?
From the kid.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, she could have a blown out O-ring.
Dirty adult diapers.
Oh, God.
Right,
sorry.
The real question is, I'm hoping they're just number ones, right?
Yes, they are. I don't think I'd be able to stand a drive if it was anything else.
My eyes started watering. All right, so what's in your filthy car?
All right, so I got probably about five different half-filled water bottles in here, like the large gallon, because I drink a gallon a day.
Look at you.
I've got two different gym bags, which I use every day. And yes, they do come in and out rotated, but they pile in. I have a brand new sewing machine that I've had for a few days that I haven't actually had a chance to get inside the house. A couple different empty coffee container things from the store. A bunch of empty plastic bags. A few different changes of clothes from the kids.
Stop,
yeah, I know that there's like some food particles and things back there in their area of the woods that I have not managed to trek into.
You're bonkers, you're a slob. No. Unacceptable.
Amanda, what?
Stop the madness.
You sound intelligent and
sounds bonkers.
She sounds wonderful. I just
A little bit of both.
Okay, yep. She's a crazy person.
Okay, I'll give you both.
You need a ride? The back seat's filled with diapers.
Clean it out. Stop the madness, people.
You know what, Mike? This actually reminds me of a very good idea of yours that I would love to see happen. The Mike Anderson Filthy Car Show.
Dude, right? This is the best segment we've ever done. You have to check the text.
Let me see.
Look at this. They're just taking photos of the insides of their cars.
Oh, man. There's so many cigarette butts and like needle caps and joints and half a cockroach.
We're putting together a gallery. We're putting these up. Thank you.
410-338.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's not a real person's car.
No, that's not real.
The whole passenger seat is filled to the ceiling with clothes.
Did you just rob a TJ Maxx? I feel like you robbed a Ross.